keep me honest. All right, so we will start the October 23rd, 2018 City Council Workshop meeting. It is 6:35. Thanks, Gary. And I'm going to ask our city clerk to... Oh, we don't have a call roll, do we? Oh, yeah, we do. I'm sorry. I'm going to ask our city clerk to call the roll.
All right.
Here.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for that.
I knew I was here. I was going to text on my way. I'm like, you have to feed the dog.
They go to the bed. Counselor Margie had to feed her dogs.
She wasn't late.
I was.
He switched chairs with me.
This one here is not that good. I tried to take it from
him. It's squeaking. Anybody got an oil?
You should have the chair.
Oh,
oh, I'm going to look into the table.
Boy, we're getting right around here tonight. Okay, what are you going to do with your $1.6 billion, Mr. Moore?
No, we're on
some oil for your chair.
We're on fine now.
Fix my chair.
So,
WD-40?
Yeah, I don't have any WD-40. Oh, straighten up. Here he comes.
Yeah.
Fly right.
Would you like some Valor or would you like some Cheers?
Because
the attorney's here now.
Yeah, we got to do that under the regular meeting. This is just a workshop.
Yeah, we didn't.
We don't change anything until the regular meeting. But we'll get to that. And you can do whatever you like, okay? So, we might as well start with this, and we'll get into the regular meeting, and we can talk about all the other stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So what I did is I sent out, I'm required to give you funding sources for our budget for next year, and I included one in everybody's package, and it's new. It's an update from the one I sent out Friday, and basically, we found some more money, so our budget's even better. So I updated it.
Where'd you find it?
How can you keep?
Well, I found it underneath the cushions. No, I mean, I just started looking at numbers that you know. Thing. Quite frankly, we're doing really well as far as like sales tax. A lot has to do with Ted up there selling the rock. Our numbers are way up. And he's going to be selling us through next year. Another one is Mr. Cackley selling his bicycles. And so Mr. Cackley's, that's helping us very well. Thank you for that. Yeah. So this is just a rough estimate of the monies, and it's of the money that we're going to get this year. And if you have any questions, you can ask. I also included in your package a expenditure summary of what I think we're going to need to spend for in each one of the funds. And if you have that, but the next meeting you'll have the full draft of our complete budget, and it'll explain a little bit more in detail. But I wanted to give you the funding sources to let you know that it appears this year we should do about $1.2 million in total revenue, which is no grant money.
Ah,
so that's good.
Meaning
that we
outside of any grant money we may
get. No. I mean, we may get grant money, but I mean, this budget, most of the budgets we've had for the thing has had grant money in it, This one here, it doesn't. We are going to do $1.2 million without any grant money.
Okay.
Which is, I think, pretty good.
Because grant money is always added in, too.
It's always added in there, but it's always added in there. Now, we do have $120,000 sitting in an account to do the crosswalks, which we're going to do this year. We've already been paid for that. But that doesn't reflect in, that reflects in your beginning balances. It doesn't reflect in your grand total revenue. So the grand total revenue is pure revenue. It's not grants that are going to go somewhere else. It's just revenue that we think we're going to get, and it's pretty good.
Awesome.
You may need that.
Any questions so far?
So do you want to explain so everybody knows about the utility tax you talked about yesterday to me? Where it comes from and all that kind of stuff and what feeds into that?
The REIT tax? Which one was it?
It was the, what was it? It's the $145,000 utility tax. And that's the one we talked about yesterday.
Okay, we have a...
that one comes from like on the cell phone and all that kind
of stuff. Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, very good. Thanks, Sean. So, $145,000, that $145,000 utility tax, and I'll break it down a little bit better for you to see where it comes from. That comes from cell phones that are used in the city. Every cell phone that's used, they have to pay tax, which comes to us. We get these little checks from some obscure little phone companies for like 13 cents. And other ones are better. The two largest are electric and water and sewer. Our water and sewer has to pay utility tax back to the city. So that's part of our that's part of what that is, John. So utility taxes. Another big one is garbage. Garbage service, because they charge pretty good, and they give us a percentage. So that's where that utility tax comes from. Tom's department did very well this year. Very, very well. He's a one-man department, and his department made very good money. Although we can't, his department brought in, he brought in like $25,000 in hookups in just sewer, and then another $25,000 in water.
But the permits
were
been good, too.
And the permits were real good. I mean, Tom was out there busting. And, but that money has to go to capital improvement. It's REIT taxes, or those taxes, those aren't REIT taxes, but those have to go to the water and sewer money that comes in for hookups has to go to water and sewer. Bingo. For the last, we have one list station, it's off by Terry's house, by Terry's list station one, the service. Yeah, and that list station has been given the city props for many years, and the problem with it is the pump doesn't work very well, so when the guys are out there most of the winter time fixing that down in that hole, scooping stuff out to keep that pump up, but because of what we brought in for the hookups, they can go out, we can buy a new, brand new pump, which will service that lift station will be, Brian says, will get a good another 5 years out of it.
Is the float the included in that?
The float?
Mm-hmm. The one on that side of the bridge?
Yeah.
Next to the bridge.
Yeah. The one that they're always working on?
Yes. Float.
We get the float.
Yeah, no, that's what they were working on last week was the
float. Oh, yeah. Well, the float, because the pump doesn't keep up, so the float, it overfilled it. You can only set the float so low, but then the pump kicks in, but it doesn't keep it going. So they want to put a new pump in, which will sell it. And then we're on the list for a lift station from EDC.
Yeah.
The lady that was here, mm-hmm. We're like second on the list of most prioritized, second, isn't it?
Third
on this?
Yeah.
But that one that's...
Seven. And then when we started going to the meeting,
yes, we were seventh, and then, because we weren't showing up to the meetings, and then Deanna started showing up to the meetings, they bumped us up to third, and who's above us was the PUD.
Yeah.
But the PUD might get a grant from the federal government, so that would push us up to number two. So we're hoping by, not this year, but the next year, that we get to push number one, and we could get a grant from DDC to put in
a... It's greater in North Bond.
Okay. I have a non-essential budget question or something. So this is not later meeting topic worthy. I was driving down Garrison today on the backside. I don't know if anybody knew there was a wreck over there, that they like jumped the curb, tore up the lawn, and hit a tree.
And we filed.
Okay. Because I just noticed it today.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it just happened.
Yeah, we got the police report. I was on scene the night of the accident. We got the police report. The prosecuting attorney's office called us today and told us that if their insurance doesn't cover it, they'd go after restitution for the remaining balance.
I'm like, I just figured I'd ask.
They went twice. If you look, they went where that one is, and then they also, before that, they went up.
I'm like, because I just noticed that today, because I go over that direction every day, and I'm like, what? Like, who's that here for me?
That's about $700 in damage.
For tearing up the lawn and the
kill it. Garrison, somebody lost, didn't get around, was a kid, and lost control and went up and
over the thing, hit the tree.
Nobody got hurt, thank God. But they pulled their car. Yeah. They went over the curb and literally broke the wheel, front wheel off.
Yeah, so I figured I would ask because I'm like, I didn't know if anybody had noticed it. Yeah.
Deanna talked to our insurance today, or left a message for our insurance today on it.
Yeah. They don't do anything because it's not under our coverage assets, like buildings and such. And so our insurance doesn't do it, but their insurance will. And then they would help us go after it if it didn't fall through.
I mean, granted, it's true. And our green lawn.
Yeah. That's true. Any other questions or anything on the budget or the revenue? This is basically this revenue summary.
I'll just say trust.
So just to give you an insight on these, and thank you for that good question, John. We have some fairly good our property tax is good. We get about $220,000 in property taxes. Most of it goes up into the general fund, and if you look down under the street fund, you'll see where general property tax, another $30,000 goes there. So that's what we get in property tax, but we put some of it in our street fund. Like I said, our sales tax is nice and up, and I believe $117,000, which I estimate is probably real conservative. It might be upwards more of about $125,000.
Isn't some of that sales tax part of the marijuana revenue?
Yeah. Unfortunate. Well, some of that marijuana revenue comes into the intergovernmental payment assistance. We get money. That is.
It doesn't come through the sales tax?
The sales. No. Some of the sales tax does. I mean, the sales tax that the store puts out does.
Right.
But we only receive $4,000 this year because our sales are so low. But we also get marijuana enforcement. We get from the state, it gives a little bit of money, and that's under intergovernmental payments and assistance. Which we're going to lose some of that because Stevenson will get it now because they're over there.
But never made the deal, so you're going to get your sales tax.
Yeah, we still need it. Yeah.
But we get 1.5%.
But that won't be lifted as sales tax. That's going to be lifted as
direct money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be still general fund revenue.
Yes, it'll still be general fund revenue. Absolutely, absolutely. And I, what I did with it is I left it basically right now. It'll bust out, but I left it up in that. It's in the sales tax column right now, but it'll list out when you get the main budget. You'll see it. I'll list it out a little bit more in detail. And the projections on our expenditures. Professional services. So we cut out a lot of the professional services. Not you, Ken. Not you. Because, let me tell you, the law says we have to have a city attorney. Can't cut you out, Ken.
He's the best bang for the buck.
Yes, he is. Matter of fact, you know what? You even came under budget this year. Yes. So Tom and our attorney came under budget. Theirs was the best.
Way to manage your time, guys.
Yeah.
You know why?
Yeah. I asked him if he needed more.
No, you know why? Because you have such a great city council.
Yes. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I agree.
Good.
I agree. If there was a jello fight, Trump Stevenson, I'd have you guys over there.
A jello fight?
Well, you know, if there was somebody, I'd put you guys up against that.
I'm like trying to think, how about
wrestling?
Whatever. No. You guys are good. You're all good. I appreciate everyone of you.
I know how to wrestle. Let me tell you.
Is there any other questions or comments? So next week you'll get, or next one you'll, and it'll be a public meeting. And we'll have a public meeting. It's posted on the door. It'll be posted. It's going to be in the newspaper. I think it's in the newspaper this week. Yeah. And we'll have a public meeting, two public hearings. One will be on the ad valorem tax, and the other one will be on the budget. You'll have two of them. In November, first part of November, second part of November. And then maybe the second week, or the second meeting in November, if everything's good, you can pass the budget. We can move on to bigger and better things.
And the ad valorem.
And the ad valorem.
Now, we have an ad valorem on the water and sewer, right?
No.
We did.
No. No. That's a CPI on that. What an ad valorem is unfortunately, any city, they can't pass any kind of real taxes. If that's done by the county, you know, like your real estate taxes, which I wouldn't want to be involved in that anyways, but we get a little bone, and that's an ad valorem tax. And what they say is, okay, you can pass a 1% on the total of what we estimate you're going to receive next year. So they estimate we're going to get about $220,000. So they say you can get 1%. So we can charge a tax of $2,200, which is split up amongst all the owners of the property, so that it's like a dollar something increase a year.
Now, if I remember right, if you don't take it, they're going to get it.
And if we don't take it, they're going to get it.
So it's not like you get, it's going to be charged whether you get your share.
So it's kind of you can't do that, but we'll let you do something, so we get to charge 1%.
But they're going to do it if you don't.
It's going to happen. Okay? Good. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that.
And that money goes into the general fund.
Yeah, it goes into the general fund. It's part of the collected through our real estate tax or the property taxes. So that's part of the property tax. And it's $2,000. I already put it in there. Just in case.
What's general government?
The general government?
Yeah, is that paying for general government under expenditures?
Oh, so there's different. General government is like there's a finance department, and there's the water sewer department, and then we have just general government. The people that are here, the things that we do as far as day to day operations, people come and buy permits, general government operations. That's what general government is. Finance, of course, is the finance department, and then the executive branch or executive office. And we have streets department. Your general fund brings in bucks. It generates money. So does your water and sewer. It generates money. Most of the other funds, and so does, well, supposedly tourism. City Street brings in a little bit of money because we get money for fuel and fuel taxes and stuff like that. It brings in a little bit of money. Skate park fund doesn't bring any money unless people donate to it. Same with the park. Capital improvement fund. When somebody sells a house or a business in the city, we get a real estate tax, a selling tax. We get a little portion of that. And that money can only be used for capital improvements in our city. So if we get money from that fund, it has to go into capital improvements. We can only use that money for capital improvements. There are certain funds we can only use it for specific things. That's one of them. So the capital improvement fund generates a little bit of money. Combined water and sewer generates its own money. The equipment fund generates no money. What the equipment fund does is the other funds fund it, give it money, and what it is when the guys take the backhoe out and they use it to dig up the streets, a portion of the streets pays for that use. If they use it in water sewer pays for that use. So that's what they rent it from us. So they all kind of pool in a pool so that that's there, and then the equipment fund kind of manages, keeps our stuff running good. The deposit fund is if somebody comes in and they're new to our city and they need to put a deposit on water or sewer, that goes into the deposit fund. Again, we can't use that. That has to stay there. They put a deposit on maybe a permit, or they put a deposit on having something. It goes into that because we have to usually refund that. So that's just what that deposit fund is. It's fairly simple. We're really lucky. We don't have bigger cities have a lot more different types of funds, but we're small. We don't have that, which makes it easier. And again, the general fund's a lot. This is just a kind of a breakdown, an outline of what we have. It breaks out better, and you'll see it when I give you the forms next. It kind of breaks it out a little bit more. Because under each fund, there's probably, what, Deanna, 40 different, 40 different numbers of, I mean, where we're supposed to...
Yes, I know. That's where we were pointing out they're the same thing, but they're different accounts and categories.
So we got to try to keep when we get.
We can tear that down or build it up as much as we want to, and even work on restructuring a little bit those year too. I mean, they'll stay in the same main funds, but there's some subcategories that are just getting really messy and too many.
And there's certain numbers that we really need to put back into place. Like there's one that was put into place years ago. It was snow removal fund, not a fund, but and they haven't been using it, but they had been using it. But we want to put it back in there because if we're going to manage our budget, we want to see where money's going. You know, that's a lot better.
Well, that snow removal fund will be nice because then my neighbor won't be plowing our road and tearing up my lawn like he does.
And really, there won't be any money for it. It'll come out of the general or street fund, basically. But it'll give us an idea of how much we're spending a year. Yeah. Snow, even though it's up and down, at least you have a better idea because who knows what we spend on it, you know, if we don't put it in. So any other questions or comments? The only thing that I did find, been finding some mistakes, and we're trying to fix them. And one of the mistakes I found is under the park donations fund, it says there's $2,828 in that fund. But when researching through, the PDA had given us a $3,000 check that never got in there. So Robin was gracious enough to get me the check, and they did write a check for the playground fund, so that fund should be more. So I need to find out where that money went and adjust that fund. It was never put in the right fund, and so that's
that the problem that's been going on.
Yeah, it's same with billing too, or the fire department fund that covered other stuff. I mean,
yeah, it was just basically getting repeated in the wrong fund.
Absolutely.
You're looking at it thinking, well, we don't even have that
$3,000.
It's there. It's just somewhere else in a different fund.
Yeah, it got put somewhere else.
Shouldn't have been, but...
But that's been happening a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. And our funds are way off right now. Some of our funds are way, way off. You'll see, because they were being credited, and other funds are way high, and we got
to
get it in even.
We have to take time to re-receive it to the right fund.
Which traces the issue, because whenever you do that, then you got the auditors wanting to know why.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of adjusting.
Yeah.
When you have an extra size to run all of
that. Yeah. Because I, with all that extra time.
Yep. So that's that. And any other questions? Comments? Nothing? So I think what I'm going to do is adjourn this meeting, workshop meeting, for 5 minutes. And when we come back and start the council meeting, I'll close the workshop meeting. And you got that, Tom?
Right at
7, okay. And then we'll reconvene at 7:05. Okay, folks. I'm going to call the city council meeting to order, North Final City Council, for October 23rd, 2018. The time is, Tom? What time is it?
7:05.
And I'm going to ask our city clerk to call the roll, please.
Councilor Ringo.
Councilor
Norris.
Here.
Councilor Lee.
Here.
Councilor Wilson.
Here.
Thank you. And if everybody join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, folks, thank you. And then we go down to agenda changes and additions. And yes, Travis is out on a training, so he's asked to be excused. He told me about it yesterday. So without any further ado, I'm going to add that to the new business. We excuse Counselor Randall. Also, we have an issue with the stop sign out on East Cascade where the trucks run, and we want to talk about that stop sign, and maybe we could add that and talk about that under new business. That'd be fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
All in agreement. So we'll add that under new business. And then, does anybody else have anything? Nothing. We don't have any public hearings. The next couple of meetings will be a public hearings, but tonight's isn't. And we'll go to consent agenda. So, Alex said that I'm looking for approval of the October 9, 2018 meeting minutes, and approval of the October 2018 second half vouchers in the sum of $54,218.61. Your motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the October 9th meeting minutes and the vouchers for $54,218.61.
I second it.
Okay, thank you. And there's one thing I want to make note of is on that $54,218, $34,000 of it was for chip sealing that we did in town. It was done by the county. And we just received payment from the TIB. That was the thing. So $34,000 was covered by the TIB. So that's why it's a little bit high. Any questions and comments? Call for the question?
Oh, yes. Call for the question.
Yes.
Thanks for reminding me. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for that. We're now, we have no guest presentations tonight. We will have a little bit later, but no guest presentations. So we'll start with public comment. No. Jane asked for 3 minutes. Jane, did you want to speak? You wanted to speak? You'd have to go up to the podium, please, so we can see you.
Can I speak a little bit later?
Sure. Okay, we'll put you on the next one. Anybody else to speak? Adam?
This is just a little housekeeping thing.
And you can state your name, serial number, and rank. What's your name?
Adam Schaefer.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
This is just a little housekeeping thing. I happen to notice, and I haven't been to a council meeting in a while, and I certainly started at 7, but I double-checked the website today, and it said it started at 6. But while I was on there, I noticed that both Councilman Norris and Councilman Randall's terms are listed as expiring in 2017. I'm assuming that's incorrect, so I just wanted to make council and the body aware of that.
That is the old website, and I was there.
Yeah, because that was the question we had. I'm sorry.
Recertified.
Our website was under the process
of making
a new website.
So
and she's very good.
One bookmark. So, okay.
Yeah, there is too. That was noted 2 meetings ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I can guarantee you.
Yeah, the new one's not ready yet, but it's
he added a word, and the guy certified him.
And you might let everybody know that what the problem was about who owned the domain in that. We have a problem.
So we a couple months ago got IT changed. So we were using Stevens IT service, which is on Julie Stevens, and now we're using Radcon. And so what happened was Julie had our emails in her personal Google domain, and so she didn't want to give up access to that. And so it was a little struggle to kind of get a hold of her. It's taken a little longer than anticipated, but now she's really fit, and Radcon, along with Maria Schaefer, or yeah, Freya Woodall, are working on that. So we're this week working on transferring our emails out of hers and into our own hosting, and then we can work on the website and up to all that.
That's taking a long time.
Yeah,
it was
the third month ago.
I was going to say, Don and his wife had held it hostage, kind of.
Any other comments?
In a polite tone.
That's the first I heard of it.
That's who is going on
No more public comment? Okay. So then we'll start with, how about counselor comments? Any counselor comments? No, sir, or you don't have to, or?
Okay. Not at this time. Maybe later.
You know.
I've got a couple of comments. I drive truck part-time, and for Ted Salka, the local quarry guy, bringing in the funds on sales tax, along with Eric Cackley and some other people, but, I put in Ted asked me about the trees that were down by Travis Corners, so where Travis lives on Cascade, East Cascade, and it goes to the quarry road. The trees were hanging over, the antennas were hitting. There's like 18 trucks a day going in and out there. And so a lot of traffic. So Ted asked me if he could, provide some equipment and even people to get that trimmed up and done. Well, I texted Brian that same morning, and I think it was the same day or the next day, the city crew was out there trimming all the trees. Really looks good. So kudos for that. And I did want to mention too that Ted goes that. I know the maintenance is looking for a boom truck. I'm going to be looking for a boom truck because their boom truck is very unsafe and very old. So Ted goes to a lot of auctions, big equipment auctions. He's seen a lot of boom trucks there for sale. Ted knows what he's talking about, knows what he's looking at. He said he could probably pick us up one for, a good price. Because it's an auction, people turn in their equipment, and not a lot of people are looking for boom trucks these days. So it could be a good thing. That's my comment.
Thank you for that, Sir.
I have no comments right now.
All right. Good. What are my comments, Jana? We'll give the public comments in a few minutes. Yeah. A couple of things. We had a really dangerous tree out. The rotten in the bottom is a big tree out there on the just before the cars when Silicon. And I had to have Eddie Coogan, and most everybody knows Eddie, who's his logging service, go out there and fall it because it was rotten. Bad. It was an animal, it was a fir tree. So Eddie dropped it, and our city crews, with the help of volunteers, cut it up, and most of that wood's going away. We've loved the public to take it, so that's going away. But also, I want to let everybody know or ask anybody, if you have any dangerous trees around your place, let us know, because the guys are working. They've been working all summer, and they've taken a lot of trees out. We've got a lot of that storm damage fixed. There's still some that we're not seeing, but if we're missing something, let us know, because we want to get these trees down or the limbs down before we have, you know, damage to anybody's home or something because we've missed some limbs. So if you see any trees that need taken down, let me know, and the guys will get out there and we'll get them down. And other than that, like I stated the last meeting, next week we start relamping the city with the LEDs. All the lights are in, we're waiting on the arms, but they're going to start. So by the first part of December, we should have all relit city. And we should be saving about 35% of our electric bills a year, which I believe will put in the money saved, but then we can eventually put in something like a watering or a sprinkling system for that whole park with the money we'd save from just in electric bills a year. So we'll put it back into the community some way, but I think it's going to, those lights are going to do us good. And the lights were all done on a TIB grant that, thank goodness for our engineer, Devin. We almost lost it, but Devin went to bat for us, and he got it, so it was a great thing.
Now they're doing the pathway lights.
They're doing pathway lights, too. It's going to be the suit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to look good. So it's going to be better. It's going to be less. They say that less. If you look at the stars, you'll be able to see the stars better. It's going to be less bleed over than the lights that are those vapor lights. So you'll be able to see the stars, and it's going to be brighter, but it's going to be more focused. And then the path lights, we went with a little lighter, or with one that isn't as bright, so that it doesn't disturb anybody in their homes. But they will be a better direct light, and you should be able to see better. So, and we'll get all new, they'll all be on new timers, so they should be. Some of our timers are going off. They're going on when the lights come on, when the sun comes up, and they go off when the sun goes down, so they're goofy. You know, I mean, there's a lot of lights that are on, you drive through town and they're on, and then the other ones, when it's night, and then at night, or day and night, they shut off. So we should have that where it looks really good, I hope. And that's my comment, and I'm going to turn over to our illustrious attorney because he has some information about the homeless. Did you go there?
Let's just give me a lot.
Oh,
I
did.
Well, pardon me. Pardon me. This happens daily. I get in trouble a lot because I'll forget things. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Ms. City Clerk.
That's all right. Happy October. Our group has been following within the 10 months already. We've been working diligently to keep the city more strong and building a sense of community. I want to reiterate that we have an open door and we're here for any suggestions, concerns, or comments you may have regarding the well-being of the farm. For the last 2 weeks, we've had our state auditor here, and the audit was for the length of the team functions and procedures, as well as examining current procedures and suggesting better methods in some areas. It was a little stressful, but the learning experience, for sure, to improve our processes all around. Within the next month, we will have an exit meeting, and we will have a full report in November to present to council for the findings of the audit. While he was here, an extra layer of stress was added as we have our ransomware attack on our computers. That was rough. Our IT group spent several days on a couple of our computers attempting to save files and stop the virus. Fortunately, this expedited our onboarding and security updates with our new IT company. But unfortunately, this happened before we were entirely set up, and there were some losses to some of my files and much time spent without email, important software, and as well as an additional cost for the city to fix the problem. As of now, we're back online and much more secure than before, which is wonderful. And I want to share there were no files, harms that included any important personal information on any employee or citizen. But sadly, the cost to recover what we could and eliminate the threat cost to the city around $2,000. So that was fun in the midst of our audit.
It was.
Yeah. And so we'll be talking later tonight about the increase to our contract to cover that cost.
Thank you. I'll turn it over to you.
Well, I think what you're alluding to is one of the topics is the Municipal Tree Conference. I attended week before last was the new case that came from the Ninth Circuit about homeless. It's called Martin versus City of Boise, and in that case, the city had been enforcing a no camping ordinance against homeless people who were living in the city. And bottom line, the Ninth Circuit has said that to enforce no camping when someone is homeless is cruel and unusual punishment under the Eighth Amendment, because what you're doing is saying you can't sleep, you're not allowed to sleep, and that's cruel and unusual, and government agencies are subject to the Eighth Amendment. So there are the problem Boise was having in particular was they were not giving people any other options. And the only option they had available was through an NGO, through a church, that after 2 days you were required to go through sort of a religious service, and they said that was the First Amendment establishment problem. So you see some of the problems here, but bottom line is the court said that if you're going to have a no camping ordinance and enforce that against homeless people, you have to make sure you have adequate shelter space. And without any strings attached, it just has to be shelter space. If you do have that shelter space, you can enforce a no camping ordinance. So that's a new case, and so most of my cities are scrambling a little bit to figure out really what they can do to provide shelter space. And so I don't know how we would want to handle that, but just FYI, we have to make sure, and I'm sure the sheriff's office has already heard about this from the prosecuting attorney. So if we can provide the shelter space, we can have the...
It has to be sheltered. It can't be open, right?
It can be open shelter space. It just has to be some kind of a shelter place where they're allowed to camp.
So it could be an open area.
It
could be the gazebo.
Could be. I mean, you just have to make sure it's adequate. I mean, if you know you have 40 people in your community who are regularly homeless, you only have space for 10. That's not going to be adequate. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to meet that requirement.
Do you have to officially designate an area?
You have to make sure that it's communicated to those people who are homeless that this is an alternative for them. And normally what's happening now is part of the enforcement process, we put a notice in our camping facilities, you know, paraphernalia is what they say, that says your shelter, you can find shelter at such and such a place. If you do not avail yourself of this shelter, we will have your campsite removed and you may be subject to arrest. And that's how you deal with it. So maybe you won't have that issue at this point, but it starts to be an issue, and I'm telling you, even my more rural towns are starting to see more and more of this happening because, you know, they're now heading this direction. And so, something to think about.
So, if you have a no camping, you're saying provide them shelter, but you also said where they can camp. So
yeah,
you have to
that could be shelter. I mean, it doesn't have to be
it could be a bus stop shelter.
It's just a place for them to go, more or less. You can't leave them in a place where they have no place to go. It's adequate to designate an area for them to be able to stay pitch a tent. I mean, if you don't have an inside space, you can give them another alternative that's even conceivably outside.
So they have to have a roof.
So we have to have a roof.
Designated area to
that
many people.
All I can say is, you know, it's a new case. And so ACLU is going to be all over this, because now that the rule has been handed down, cities try to, you know, deal with it. they're going to be challenging. Like, you know, if you designate an area for camping, then somebody's going to say, well, that's not adequate. You know, that's not, you're not, you know, giving us adequate shelter.
But the argument, if it was equal to what they were doing, if I was living in my car and I would be able to place a parking car, then or if I'm pitching a tent out here and you get to pitch a tent here instead of here, it's equal. But if I'm living under an underpass and you don't give them a covered area, they'd have to be already disposed of.
True. Yeah. I mean, again, a lot of the stuff
down.
But I would advance your argument, certainly. You know. Anyway, that's my report.
Thank you. We might have to put our heads together on this.
Yeah. Or at least have a fallback. Cause if we have enforced people overnight in the last couple of years. And usually they just moved on, you know. But usually it was in a camper or a car, you know. So, but it was on the road, you know. So that would be, oh, that's not, that it's along a road, so you're on a shoulder, which has nothing to do with a camping.
Well, I mean, it's the same problem.
Right, you just have to say, you can't park here, you
need
to
go. There's another place you can park.
You can park in the parking lot, right?
Right.
Designated parking instead of
no on-street
parking.
I drafted an ordinance that's compliant, where we have provided some shelter areas that say, you cannot leave your camping paraphernalia up between the hours of 6 a.m. and, you know, 9 p.m. So in other words, you can't just make a camp. Mm-hmm. You have to decamp during the day.
Because you're not stopping them sleeping. They just can't be there 24/7.
Right. And we also say you can't camp in a park, in a public park. And that's okay. As long as you can provide any shelter space, you know, that those rules can be enforced. So that's something to think about.
So how can they discriminate on
time
like that?
Because
they
just
night owl and they sleep so
much. But you're giving them an alternative.
They're
giving them the right to sleep.
Okay. Yeah.
They can't just say, well, I don't like to sleep during those hours.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Brian?
I think we have an example of a homeless person here in this area. Because he or she has been parking in front of my place for probably 3 or 4 days over the weekend, and now it's parked out here in your city parking lot. It's a little black car with loaded down, and the license plates are expired. They expired in August.
And she's homeless, too.
Have you checked that out?
Yeah, that's why she's not parked over by you. We put a sticker on there, no overnight parking, and then I come by and I see that she moved it from over there and it's over here. So, but I talked to her.
I don't want to talk about any specifics public meeting, but I can say that, you know, we'll have to think about enforcement of something like that. Yeah.
Because that would apply too.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, but
sympathetic with people like that, but maybe they need some help. And
well,
I didn't want to get that
involved. And in Clark County, there are a couple of churches around that give their make their parking lots available under, you know, controlled circumstances for that very kind of situation. People who are car camping or, you know, trailer rental camping for homeless people. You know, I don't know all the details of when they have to be gone and when they can stay, but they are providing that alternative, you know, just as a public service. So.
Yeah, we have to. Because I would think if we provide a space for somebody to shelter, they really shouldn't leave an abandoned car and say that's where we have to leave.
Or
if we'd be able to enforce the rules.
For so many hours, it's not 24/7 parking. You've got to move it every day.
Well, we have the right to enforce parking ordinances, and one of those parking ordinances, if I recall, says that the car has to have current tag.
Yes.
Exactly. And there's no overnight parking
in certain areas.
So you can designate somewhere else.
You can talk about that. I think we have to be cautious, care about how we do this and keeping this case in mind all the time. Now, mind you, this is a Ninth Circuit case. It could go up to the Supreme Court, in which case, who knows where it'll end up. But it is the law.
The law right now. It is. Okay. Thank you, Sharon. All right, folks. Moving on. We're going on to finish business. Obedience. Board Cannabis Store Finance Edition. I want to address this real quick. The PDA came to us and asked us to move and because they're having issues, and we said yes, and we've been very gracious with it. More than most, allow them to go wherever they believe they need to go. The problem was their financial statements came out from the beginning of the year, and they've lost close to how much? $80,000 over the last 9 months or 6 months. So we asked the question is, if you're losing so much money, are you borrowing more money? Simple question, borrowing more money, or do you have reserves? Because the financial report didn't show that they had any reserves. The certified copy that they give us once a year, it showed no reserves. And they also showed no new loans. And we were told that they're not borrowing any more money, and they're not taking any more, and they don't have any reserves. So all we wanted to get the answers was, how are you floating, losing this kind of money? How are you floating every month without taking it, with no reserves, and without any taking out loans? And it's been real hard for me to get an answer to that question, and that's exactly what the question we need answered. So we've asked the board to come here. Maybe they can explain to us how we're losing money and being able to survive, move, and whatever without... Where's the money coming from? That's our question.
Can I speak for the board?
Sure.
I'm Tunis Wires. I'm the attorney for the PDA. And we have put together a written response from the PDA. As you may or may not know, our board president, Mike Smith, has quit in response to a very uncomplimentary letter from the mayor. So we have our remaining two board members here. There's a housekeeping matter with respect to their status, which is that I think there's some question about whether they're acting under current appointments as members of the PDA board. The fundamental documents say that the PDA board members are appointed by the mayor subject to the concurrence of the council. So it's entirely up to you folks to renew those appointments if you choose to or not if you choose not to. Right now we have a quorum of two. If we lose one of them, we won't be able to function. I understand there's a person that will be suggested to you as a replacement for Mr. Smith, but that's just developed in the last 24 hours, and I think we want to have a little bit of a chance to submit that to you. So I just wanted to read a statement here to you folks. First, please try to remember that the members of the PDA are all concerned citizens with a vested interest in the community. They deserve your respect and your professionalism. They're not paid, yet they endure an invasive background check by the LCD, the control board, and police, and constant public scrutiny just to help with this one-of-a-kind project. Second, we would like to suggest that we schedule meetings and workshops in advance. This way, it's more of an exchange of information and ideas and less of a scramble for the PDA to try to meet the demands of the city on a short-term basis. Dan Smith has suggested in the past that we meet four times a year after each of our quarterly board meetings. We would be happy to do that, to share any information with you that you would like to receive. This way, staff is not being interrupted to scramble for information on a case-by-case basis. We think it would be a lot better for all concerned if we had a regular schedule of meetings and information exchange. Third, please understand that this business is unlike any other. For instance, marijuana inventory can hardly be called an asset because it's only transferable upon the transfer of a license. Parenthetically, the license can't really be considered an asset on a balance sheet because that's not something that you can go out and sell. But it has huge value, intrinsic value, because that's the gateway to the creation of revenue for the entity. But what's a reasonable number to put on that for purposes of a balance sheet? That could be argued both ways. The license can't be sold as a regular asset, and in the event of a business dissolution, it becomes the property of the Liquor Control Board. If you're looking for reporting, you have access to everything that's been approved by the board as a matter of public record. Further, reports take valuable hours from an already overstretched staff, which sometimes provides information that's sometimes irrelevant in the overall scheme of things. One of our challenges in this situation is that normally we would call upon our CPA to generate a balance sheet, which she should be able to do in just a few minutes from QuickBooks, but she's out on family leave. So that's a delay that we don't have control over. Fourth, understand that this has been a very busy year for the PDA. We've opened a second company so that our marketing efforts won't continue to be curtailed by the limitations of the Washington cannabis law. Our staff has taken over payroll responsibilities from the third party. We've negotiated a new lease and moved locations. We have entertained our second state audit. We have now amortized all our debt and reduced our interest rates. Up until just a couple of days ago, we still had a significant loan that had a balloon payment at the end of that loan with no amortization of payments, and we were going to fall off a cliff at the end of the 5 years, which is coming. We have now obtained a refinance of that loan on an amortized schedule, which will pay off over time. So while in the beginning, all the financing had those balloon payments in them, now none of the financing has balloon payments in them. If we can continue to operate, we'll be able to pay that debt in due course. We have seen the closing of North Bonneville's only tourist attraction and main source of visitors. We have weathered some nasty competition that has deep pockets and doesn't play by the rules. We have witnessed prices drop almost 40% in the cannabis market, and that's occurred industry-wide. All the cannabis businesses have year over year over year suffered reduced revenues. So we're not unique in that respect. Lastly, we've been combating rumors that we're closing. Every day we've had customers in the previous location asking us when we're going to close. Where's that coming from? We don't know. But it makes it difficult to run when everybody thinks you're closing. We think we have that problem solved now in our new location. 7 days ago, we received a letter from Mayor Sable requesting a balance sheet and the PDA's completed 2019 budget. Robin explained that the timing of those requests was poor for a number of reasons. 12 days ago, we moved the shop from North Bonneville to Stevenson and have not even had our grand opening. We're busy ironing out the kinks of our transition so that we have a seamless celebration. On Wednesday, we negotiated to amortize the last of our debt, and I mentioned that. And it's public information. Fern Armstrong has stepped up once again and loaned us money to pay off Sally Spencer, who refused to work with us for an amortized loan. So now Fern Armstrong is the person who's basically carrying the financial burden of the PDA on her back. And I'll tell you right here and now, because it's a fact, that we're borrowing $85,000 from firms. We owe Sally just a little more than $70,000. So there's a little bit of boot in there, and what the boot is going to be used for is, first, to pay the $9,000 we owe for the remainder of the cost of the audit, and the rest is going to be used to purchase inventory. Inventory is down significantly, so about $6,000 of that loan from FERN is going to go to inventory. $6,000 invested in inventory immediately results in $18,000 worth of retail sales. So, not a bad deal. So that's $18,000 coming back for basically $15,000 additional borrowed on the from FERN. I don't think there's anything in the rules anywhere that says we can't incur additional debt. So we don't feel like we're violating any rule by incurring this additional debt. And thanks to FERN for being supportive. I talked about rumors of splitting. It was suggested that the board present a plan for the overall business direction when these plans are formed on an annual basis, and 2018 is nearing completion. Finally, it was suggested that we use an overly simplified form to construct our annual budget, foregoing our complete QuickBooks tool and directly contradicting the state auditors. We're not comfortable with that requirement. The PDA has accomplished so much to make this business more viable. We've reduced our monthly rent by 83%. Well, that's going to depend a little bit on our previous landlord because, as you know, we have a rental arrangement in the original location that is untenable. When this whole thing started out, we had an untenable business model. We had an excruciating rent arrangement, and we had debt that we had no plan to retire. That was not very propitious. And that resulted from the original design, which was created by the city's former manager, John Spencer, who was working in a vacuum pretty much with regard to facts, because the only state that had legalized cannabis was Colorado. He flew in his personal plane, went back there and gathered as much information as he could, came back, generated a business plan based on assumptions that he made based on the information he had, which turned out to be wildly optimistic. And the rest is history. We know that what John Spencer hoped for was little more than a dream, but we're still trying to make the original plan work. And I'm not beating up on John. I think he was doing the best he could with the information he had. But based on those assumptions, he incurred all this debt at these outrageous interest rates with balloon payments in 5 years. I mean, it was pretty tough. So, depending a lot on what we can accomplish with Mr. Cackley, because we want to try to negotiate out the remainder of that lease if we can, and there's no decision to announce in that yet. We've amortized our loans so that we will not default in 2019, saving thousands in late fees and legal fees. We've paid all our monthly bills and employed 9 people to spend their paychecks in the local economy. Even our expensive lease has put lots of money back into the city and cleaned up 3 buildings. We don't deny that our competition has taken a big bite out of market share. Our shop will be the main focus in 2019. We welcome all community support in this endeavor, and we're poised to have a very successful business in a fantastic location. And I hope that you folks will join us in celebrating our grand opening this weekend. Now, just to comment a bit about the recent communications, I don't know where we need to go to resolve this apparent disagreement, but it's our sense that the mayor feels very strongly that a balance sheet is a very, very important document in determining the viability of a business. And I would suggest to you, and I don't know whether we need to get an economics professor in here or some kind of consultant or what, because I fear that we're talking past each other. I'm expecting that you probably aren't going to believe much of what I'm going to say here in a couple minutes, and we're concerned about the importance that you're putting on balance sheet. The fundamental financial documents that any business has is a balance sheet and a profit and loss statement. And the profit loss statement, that's really important because that tells you what's coming in and what's going out, and that tells you whether you have the ability to make your meet your immediate financial obligations on a timely basis. And we have met our financial obligations on a timely basis from the get-go, and we continue to do so. I submit to you that the balance sheet really doesn't mean much. Our balance sheet will be negative. The balance sheet of a huge number of Americans will be negative. If you have a mortgage, a car loan, a couple of credit cards, and a student loan debt, you are underwater. But if you're making your payments, you're doing okay. It doesn't mean you're a failure because your debts exceed your assets when you look at a balance sheet. I submit to you that any startup business is going to have a negative balance sheet for at least 5 to 7 years. What's going to go on the balance sheet? We can't really put a big value on the license. We have rent to pay in the future. That would be a negative thing. But I want to submit to you that if the balance sheet is negative, that doesn't mean we're failing. Because if we're making the payments, we're surviving. And we hope you will give us enough room to continue to make those payments, reduce our debt. We're on amortized debt schedules now. As soon as we can work out something with Mr. Cackley, we hope that'll take $6,500 a month out of our expenses. The amount that we have to pay on our loans is lower now because we don't have to pay Fern as much per month as we were paying Scottish a month, etc. So, we really want to work with you. Our bank account is probably the lowest it's been in a long, long time because we just moved. And we've been focusing on moving. And this time pressure to produce information now, because the city wants it, now is tough for us to meet because we're trying to survive with this new store. So, you know, I'm not here to criticize, argue, or anything. I'm just pleading with you to work with us. We had a conversation several months ago about if you want to shut us down, shut us down. But the statement was, no, we want to see you succeed, and we want to work with you to see you succeed. And this city cooperated with our intergovernmental agreement that allowed us to open in Stevenson, and thank you so much. That one act in and of itself may save the PDA. That was really awesome. That even in spite of all the disdain that some of you hold for cannabis in general and our operation in particular, you cooperated with that. That was huge, and I really appreciate that. So, Robin's not here because she's still pretty bruised from her last meeting with you folks. And the board members, it's not really Robin's job to come here and get beat up by the council. It's the board members. It's their job.
Absolutely. I agree.
Let's all treat each other with respect. I hope we can make this work because, honest to God, we want to be writing checks to you for street lighting and fire trucks and a shelter for the homeless and all those things.
Thank you. I just want to kind of quick clarify a couple of things that Tina said. First of all, it's been a month. It's not been yesterday. It's been a month that Robin was here and wanted us to submit questions for the board. I didn't submit them. I told her we had a packed the first meeting and the last meeting was the meeting that we were supposed to have, but I told her we had a packed meeting, so we'd give them time. So it's been a month. I sent her I got the email, and I sent her an email and said, this is what I want. I want a balance sheet. Now, a balance sheet, we have different, there's a current and a non-current balance sheet. Non-current balance sheet is what you amortize over a year. That's what we're asking. I clarified that with her. A current balance sheet is something that you look at and you know what you have for assets, what you have to pay, your liabilities on a month-to-month basis. So you know that you have enough money to pay your liabilities within your assets. That's all we were asking for. But the response I got back from her was I asked for a balance sheet and I asked for a budget. Because the last time that I went to one of their meetings, they put a budget out in front and it was mentioned that our money, the 1.5%, wasn't on there. And Robin said, double up the tax. And she told her assistant, double up the tax just so we can pay us. Well, that doesn't work. I mean, that it made no sense. You don't double up the tax. So I thought, man, they're not understanding a budget. So that's why I asked. And Mr. And then she had said that she couldn't find that form. And I told her I took it off their website 3 days prior. It's not on your website. So, nonetheless, I understand what you're saying about the thing. But we give them a month, and I reminded her, and the response I got back was, if we can't give you a balance sheet because we only get them annually. And if the council wants to pay for a balance sheet to get the answers that we're asking for, that we've been waiting a month to get, we'd have to pay for it because they can't afford it. It's not in their budget. She also told me, and then she argued about the fact she couldn't find that form, and she looked, and it's outdated, and blah, blah, blah. And I responded back to her, and I responded with some very concerns that, man, you tell us what you want, or you tell us, give you the questions we want. We give you two simple questions a month ago, and I remind you of it, and you're telling me you can't give them to me, and I'm real concerned about this business because you're losing money. You're not going to produce a balance sheet. You're not going to produce any kind of budget to show us what you're going to be doing, and you're continuing to lose, and they're continuing to lose. So we gave them plenty of time, and we did exactly what she asked. Give us questions, and we gave her that questions, and the board will answer them. And then she said she talked to the board in her response, and the board says, basically, no, we're not going to respond. That's what she said. That's when I laid in and said, you know what? I'm concerned about the management of this business. I'm concerned about the board. I'm concerned about the management because this business is failing. And nobody seems to know or have any questions, and we have to wait for this and that. So that's where that went from. We gave them plenty of time for that. As far as it goes, we want to see them. We want to see that business move. We want to see them do well. But we also have. We also work closely with Stevenson, and I don't want to send a business over there that's going to fail in a couple months. I mean, it's not going to look good for us. Everybody's work and the straw man argument that this new administration from day one wanted to shut down that pot shop. We wouldn't have shut down that pot shop, we'd shut it down. I'm telling you, we'd have shut it down. But we didn't. Because we have Fern is old money. I don't want to see people in our community lose money. Because she invested in something that was for our community. I don't want to see her lose money. I don't want to see anybody lose any money.
And we've been saying this for...
And I don't want to see anybody lose their jobs. But I want to see something that's viable. I want to see numbers that we can be confident. And on top of it, I'm an ex officio board member, and I'm not getting answers. That's what we're not getting answers as a council, the right to audit, and I'm not getting as an ex officio board member. So I just want to say we've asked, and we just need answers, and we can move on. It's a question that came up when we looked at the financials that were put online that they've lost close to $80,000 this year. And you got to be getting it from somewhere. And that's all we need to know. Where are you getting it? What do you got? And Robin told this board, I mean this council, that you had no assets, no money in the bank, and you were not borrowing any money. So where's the money coming from? That's the only question we had.
She also stated, though, that she didn't think that we could survive very long running negative numbers. Yeah, she had stated like 3 or 4 months, and that's like if we didn't get to move. Like putting it all on the move.
Now, we appreciate every one of your board members. We really do, because it is, you're volunteering. It's just like, it's a volunteer and it's a service. And we appreciate that. But
5 years or more.
But my point is, if we're not seeing with the board members we have now or the manager or not, we can't figure out how to fix it, it might be time to refresh that. Because the business is failing. The business is falling down and we're not getting answers. So we have, this council has oversight to make sure that that business either makes it or it ends it. That's what... We had the state auditor in here, and he handed me a form. He pulled me off the site and said, Brian, would you talk to the TDA? Because they're not filing. We've requested them to file on a new business they started in March, and they will not respond to us. And I asked him, I said, why are you asking me? And he goes, because you're the overseer. You're in charge of overseeing it. Either you ask them, or we'll start proceeding. We're giving you the opportunity, because it's your responsibility to oversee that TDA. when they're not doing what they're supposed to. And I gave this to Robin. It that took a while of time. She said that she could. That's another story. But anyway, hopefully this is resolved.
Why?
And hopefully we also got that they were behind on employment taxes. Now this all came in with all the time within the last month when we saw that their numbers are going negative. They're not filing with the state auditor's office, which could really create you problems if you get them mad. And then the state unemployment or the
employment division. That's the employment people.
They're not being paid. So what are we supposed to think here? All we're asking for is answers. And so when her response came to me the other day and said, I'm sorry, but the board says, no, I can't give you a balance sheet, and no, we're not going to think. No, that ain't answers. So that's what we're here today. You've answered the question to us, and we appreciate that. We weren't getting the questions from, answers from her, and I wasn't getting them from the board. I said, you, Dan, you can contact me anytime. Anybody could have come in here and said, Brian, here's what's going on. But nobody did. And then we can say, okay, let's move on. These guys are okay in their study. So that's why we're at this point.
And is it a problem with the manager not speaking with the board? Because when she comes in here and up front in front of us, she's like, I don't even know, I can't answer those questions. But she's the one who uploaded stuff to the web for all of us to see.
So did you just ask me if she's not communicating with the board?
Yes, well, on the numbers.
Well, it certainly seems to me when I attend meetings, and I attended one more last week, that we're getting all the information. I understand what you're saying and appreciate what you're saying. I think from 30,000 feet, it was just kind of, the city really wants some information now, and Robin's just kind of saying, my bags are packed, I'm moving, I don't want to dig into the boxes to try to answer these financial questions. I'm really focusing in on this move. So I really hope these things will smooth out. And I'm sure there's an explanation for the mayor's concern, because we're not borrowing chunks of money. There's no slush fund coming in the back door anywhere. There's no mystery money. There's no funny money. I mean, if any of us, we would all quit if there was anything like that going on. I sure as hell would quit if there was anything untoward going on, and I think we would see that. So
I don't think we're saying that anybody's doing anything, you know, under the table or behind the scenes.
No, you're saying, where's it coming from?
We don't know where it's coming from.
Even
right? And so
it looks like there's a leaky bucket. Worse.
Right.
What's going on?
You know,
I understand.
So, as of June, your P&L shows a loss of $62,634. July, August, September P&Ls have not been posted online. And so, I was looking for them yesterday, and they weren't up there yet. And so, you know, you say it's a matter of public record, but yet it's not even up there. We're almost end of October. And so, you know, the P&Ls aren't even up there. You know, again, just kind of reiterate what the mayor was saying, you know, scramble for info and schedule the meetings. We've been asking for this for a while. And scramble for info, if you have a current sheet going, it shouldn't have to be a scramble. It should be there. You should have it at your fingertips.
Right. If our CPA were online, she ought to be able to produce that 5 minutes.
But you should have, but the board should have access to that no matter what day. It should have to be an annual thing. You should have a current one. I've been involved in businesses that you got to know what's going on to fix the problems. I mean, if things are going downhill, you need to know, where are my assets, where are my liabilities, and what can we do to fix that? We've been asking since January when I was on this board, what are you going to do to improve? We keep hearing, oh, it's going to be better next year. It's going to be better next year. How is it going to be better next year? That's what we need to know, is how. Now, it's going to be. We all hope it's going to be. But we need to know the how, and we're not getting that.
What we've done to improve is we have amortized our entire debt.
You just told us that, so that'd be good.
Please don't disregard that as a significant.
And we don't do this. We don't. But it's lip service. We don't ever get the info. It's she. We have the same. She's telling the same thing. But where's the info? Where is it so we can see it?
I hear you loud and clear.
The tangible stuff.
I expect there are answers to this, and I expect that we can get them to you in a timely fashion. What do you think of the idea of quarterly meetings? Does that make sense? So that there's no concern about short notice or anything like that.
What about this meeting?
I think. I think June.
No.
Well,
no.
Councilor Acton says he doesn't think the most recent P&Ls have been posted. So if that's true, that's not good. We need to get that done. I don't know whether it's true or not.
You're busy. Everybody's busy. We're busy here. We have a lot of things to do. It's our little city. They move. The PDA's moving and stuff like that. You need quarterly meetings. All we need is just simple answers. If we had got dropped off the answers, I could have said, guys, here's where it comes from. They wouldn't have to spend the money and your time doing this to come in here to tell us what, and we still don't have anything.
Question. So it looks like you got an audit report in August, and one of the auditors' findings was that they needed to provide a detailed financial plan for financial benchmarks and guidelines to target cash flow issues. Is that on schedule?
I mean, I haven't seen that report. I don't know.
This is the true end of last calendar year.
I don't.
So
what you say, I just think I don't have the details.
I'm just suggesting, in order for you guys to be compliant with the state, it looks like they're looking for certain financial documents, and maybe and when they provide those to the state, they could also provide to the council.
I do know they were pretty concerned about the one loan that wasn't amortizing.
I see that as well.
Big concern to the auditor.
So I guess to the extent they have some reporting requirements with the state, and I'm not sure, I noticed that they did get a response, the PDA.
So the bottom line, when we report to the state, you'd like to have a copy.
For sure. I mean, if there's anything that needs to be done to remain compliant with the state, it'd be good to also copy the council. I don't know whether the authority, the response from the TDA that was included in the audit report is the auditor considers sufficient, but regardless, I think that what I'm hearing from these guys is just more financial reporting. I mean, and if it's an ordinary course kind of financial reporting, be sure they get copies. And, you know, it sounds like you sort of have a business plan to turn things around, but it's all about communications, goodness. You know that. And with these guys, I know that they have oversight responsibilities. They don't have management responsibilities, only oversight responsibilities. And as you well know, that can be difficult from the oversight body to make sure that they are doing their job, and it's all about getting information to them. So I just encourage you to encourage your client to make sure that this oversight body has what they need to make sure that they're doing their job. That's all. And that's all about financial reporting. And, you know, the quarterly meetings sound terrific, but I suggest that won't do anybody any good unless that quarterly meeting includes some fairly thorough financial reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, it probably would be useful. It may even be too much. I don't know. I mean, it'd be up to them if they want to do quarterly or less often or more often, but I think that the problem is this has sort of gone on for a long time without a lot of inclusion in the financial reporting from this organization. And certainly Burns is going to want to know what the agency is doing, and these guys for their oversight will want to as well. All the public is entitled to know, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's...
I apologize that you interpreted Robin's response to your request for information as a refusal to provide information. I don't think that was her intention, but I can understand how you interpret it that way. I apologize for that. Moving to another item I mentioned earlier, what is your pleasure with respect to the appointment of current and ongoing members of our board of directors? Or do you want to put that off to some other time?
I don't think we can put it off because technically then nobody's
compliant.
They're not compliant at all.
The charter says that each director serves until his or her replacement is appointed. So, as a technical matter, I think we're okay. But
I find the same way.
The only thing is we change that per their
request
in this last April, and they put in a clause that basically says that they were going to find an alternate board member for each board member. In the event of death, removal, resignation, or disqualification of any member, an alternate for that member shall assume the position of said member by a vote of the board. So apparently under section 1.2, member absence or vacancy, they've added some things in there which basically said they're going to have they're going to have an alternate for every board member, is the way that I'm reading this. So there really should be an alternate. And if that's the case, then Mike Baker can't resign. If he can't just walk in and hand me a resignation, then I'm done. If you're going to say that's a clause, then he has to stay until a board member's found, which would be wrong.
I don't think it says they have to serve until their replacement is...
They can. Okay.
They can. And is... When this amendment occurred, did it delete the language saying that a board member would serve until his or her replacement was appointed?
It was added.
I think that absent an alternate, the preceding rule that they would serve until they're replaced would probably stand. But I think in good practice, it would be a good idea to then appoint a replacement for the EP as well as, you know, the position that is firing. And then alternates.
You know, now my
appointment going on.
Now, my question to her wasn't the fact that they're staying on, because I even mentioned that to her. My question was, the clause states if they are resigning. Now, I haven't heard whether any of these gentlemen are resigning. I know that I haven't heard any that they're resigning. So, ultimately, they need to be confirmed if they want to continue on, because the original terms have expired. Your term expired in November of 2015. Yours was a 2-year, your first one. So you really should have been confirmed at that time. And Adam and then Mike were filling in, but all terms expired by 2017, 1/16/17. So you really, if you plan on going on, then you're not fulfilling that clause. You're not somebody that's leaving and waiting until somebody comes in. You just need to be reconfirmed as ongoing.
I think both Mr. Smith and Mr. Schaefer would like to be reappointed.
Yes. All right. That's going to be up to the council, too.
Yep.
Yes.
What?
I would, yes. Yes. Yes, to confirm.
Well, I've got a couple questions for that. First of all, do any of you, I guess you can sit down.
You've been excused.
Huh? And thank you, Dennis. Thank you for the information.
Thank you.
We might have blushed a little.
I'd like a board member to come up here, whoever wants to come up. Speak for the board. The board's in charge. Not Tuna. Not Robin. The board. Do you know the current water and sewer rates or cost of water and sewer rates? Where were you at?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Do you? Okay. Well, you know, I'm thankful that I sit on a city council. That's just one question. I'm going to move on. I'm thankful I sit on a city council that has people who are experienced with facts and figures, and I try to stay on top as much as I can, because I'm not a fact and figure guy. But I am not going to approve anybody on the PDA board as of this time, myself. And I hope I have space to do that because of lack of experience. If you can't tell me what the water and sewer rates of your new big place that you moved into and you're the board that runs this PDA... Pardon?
How is that relevant?
It shows the lack of interest and concern about the business. And that's the business, is that what we're talking about? The finances.
I misinterpreted your question. I thought you were talking about City of Bonneville's sewer and rates.
No, you're...
I do know that. I don't have it on the top of my head. That information was part of our discussion. I know that it is a significant difference. I mean, a reduction. Fairly significant reduction. The amount we pay in utilities at the new facility, I have no need for that information. But I can acquire it at will.
You're going to pay more water sewer than you do here.
That's very likely.
Well, we pay it.
I know you do it. We're not saying you don't.
Let me just make one statement. What I've been hearing tonight is that you folks seem to be convinced that based on the profit loss statements that we are failing. I submit to you that is not anywhere near the case. Those documents, profit loss statements, and budgets don't tell anywhere near the story. I know that may be important information, and I wouldn't want to deny you that information. That has never been in my mention. You mentioned the month. That particular month, we were just too busy. We had way too many things going down that particular month. Next month, it'll be different. I would like to encourage you not to be focused on the numbers so much as you be focused on the possible positive things occurring. Like Tunis reported, we pay our debts on a regular basis. We employ 9 people in the community. We provide a service, both recreational and medical, for a great many people in our community. We are doing the very best we possibly can. And I would suggest that you will not find a single marijuana store in the state of Washington who has not significantly reduced their savings over the last summer. The industry and the dynamics of the industry are, in fact, in serious flux. There is no other explanation. The definition of success is what's in question. The bottom line on the profit loss sheets is not an indication of success or failure. And that, to me, is the main point. You're misinterpreting what you're seeing. We pay our debts, we employ people, we serve the community, and as PDA members, we have always been firmly dedicated to the mandate put forth in our charter. And we continue to be so. And the potential for fulfilling that mandate still remains, although it's taken quite a bit more time than even we were promised. We understand why. We are doing the best we can, and we will provide you with the information that you have requested. I have in my possession a generalized ballot sheet, and I'll be willing to present it to you this evening. But I encourage you, as Tunis did, is to recall that the balance sheet does not tell the whole story. That's all. Because it will always be negative. So if you're looking for a positive balance sheet, we don't have one. We can't have one. But we're working on it very, very hard. And when we find out what the true nature of this relocation is going to be, then we will all be in a better position. And I believe all of our executive director has been doing is asking you to give us some time, because the move has been consuming the staff's time. And I need to say, too, that the staff has been the reason why the move has not cost any money. They have stepped up. They have done the remodeling. They've done the administrators. We as a group, save, I don't know how much money, by doing the work ourselves, building fences, installing gamma lines, and otherwise doing what we need to do. None of us on the board are financial wizards. That's why we hired the manager. And I apologize to you if our manager has failed to respond to you in a way that you thought you needed. I apologize. That is certainly not our intention. So what I'm suggesting is that we would like to submit our request to continue doing what we're doing. We have a candidate for replacing Mr. Baker. who will be at our next meeting.
Who?
We will present that to you when we met with them and determined that they are in fact suitable and serious, which will be on the 14th of November. And we hope to be able to proceed with the extreme amount of work that's gone into making this a viable thing and continuing to improve it. We will begin paying our debts, one of which, as the mayor pointed out, is our obligation to you now on a monthly basis. So we hope to increase that to whatever degree we can. And the marketing, the location, and other business considerations are the key. And we would like very much to have an amicable and rational, ongoing working relationship with the council. That's what we, you and your obligations to this community, is what we have been dedicated to help with. And I submit to you that all of this threat of shutting us down is part of the reduction in sales. It has contributed immeasurably, but significantly, to our customer base. That's a reality. It's a fact. The drop in prices of the product, the hotel abandoning us, fire across the river, more stores, competition right up the road. All of those things play into the profit loss statements that I believe you are misinterpreting. No, we will never be able to remain in the black every single month. Many months cover, black months cover red months. That's how we do it. That's not a problem. We don't see it as a problem. We've managed to sustain our business, pay our debts, and even provide money to this city, although relatively small amounts, for nearly 5 years. This business couldn't possibly have been a cash cow. That's the problem. The expectation that this is a cash cow is unrealistic. It was never going to be, it will never be, a massive cash cow, because we live in a rural, low-income, sparsely populated community. But we are sustaining it in an unsustainable environment. We have sustained it. Now we believe the environment to be sustainable. We request only the chance to make it so. Thank you.
Jack, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And I respect you. I respect everybody. I'm coming. But I don't operate. Your website, tangible in my hand, is minuses. That's what I pulled. And you're saying that I'm not supposed to pay attention to these. In this hand, I have nothing that shows all I'm hearing a lip service that says, oh, we're fine. Don't look at these, which are in my hand, off your website, saying you're losing a lot of money. But I don't see in this hand anything, and we've asked for it, to show us how these are wrong. You just keep giving us lip service. They've given us lip service for 3 years, as long as I've been here. And all we're asking for is just, if you're going to diminish these, give me something that diminishes these, because what you tell us doesn't matter much. We've heard it's the rent. We've heard the fires. We've heard the ice storm. We heard at one time because you missed out on the medical marijuana board. Every year it's going to be more rosy. And I'm telling you something, your numbers are bad. Your month numbers are the lowest half of what they've been in the last 3 years, this year alone. That's concerning, Dan. That's concerning. Now, you can stand up here. Tunis can stand up. Everybody can stand up here. Give us something. If you gave us something that says you're losing, give us something that says that you're not, and to justify what you're saying. That's all we're asking for. And we move on.
I have a piece of paper. I can...
No, and I get that. I'm just letting you know, I run a 501c3, and our annual meeting is this coming weekend. I just had to prepare my QuickBooks balance sheet and my profit loss. And the way it should read, it should show your account, what you have in your account. It goes through and it shows your facilities and equipment, then your depreciated expenditures, and then it goes down into your liabilities and equity. And so, like, I have an opening specific balance, but so far this year we have a net income of only negative $565. But I can say, we're negative $565 because I have $5,800 coming from Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. So that then makes my net positive for the year. I'm like, but there's not a balance sheet. You show me a profit loss. But the balance sheet is totally different. It shows me what accounts you have and where the money's at, and then it'll show you your facilities and equipment, which is a totally different ballgame, and then you're, because you get some fractions of monies off per year based on how long you've had it, whether it be, I've had my computer for 3 years, I now get to take a deficit loss on that because it's no longer worth of anything value. And that's kind of what we want to see where the money's at. Because profit loss, yeah, I can show you, I'm down $535 for the year. But I also know that I have claims in to the Department of Fish and Wildlife for over $5,800. So that makes my net profit then for the year like $48. So there is money coming back in, but I can show that on paper. I can tangibly show you that.
So Dan, when you were here asking us to go with the inter-city agreement, you stood up back there a couple of times saying, if we don't do something right away, we're going to go under. And now you're standing up here telling us, we're doing fine, we're not going under, we're doing great.
Because we have done something. We have reduced our debt load. We have reduced our obligations. We have relocated to a much better retail location. We are doing what is necessary to sustain.
And you just said that the black months are covering the red months, but since January of this year, you've had no black months. So, I don't know how you're covering it. That's still my biggest question. How are you guys recovering those kind of losses?
I
think that's because we've never seen an actual balance sheet of your guys' accounts. Whatever. You come in and they submit the profit loss, so all we see is that, oh, last year you lost $45,000, and then now this year we're at $62,000 in the hole. But we've never seen a balance to begin with. So to know where we started and what we're still running on, I'm like, because it's like, yes, those are numbers, because yes, I can do the same thing, but I can tell you I have $50,000 in the general funds and $16,000 in savings, but yet I still show a net loss of $536.
The other thing, Dan, is when we were talking to Robin, she was telling us, I don't know, you need to talk to the board. They're the ones that have the answers. That's what she said. You need to talk to the board. Now we're talking to the board and you don't have the answers. You do, but it's again, we don't have, give us something. And we can be on.
I can do that.
We can move on then. As long as we're satisfied that this business isn't going to be failed in 2 months and we're going to get knocking at the door, they're chaining in the doors, great. That's all we need.
I just wanted to show you that the business is not failing. This is a balance sheet. I'm not sure what the names of these documents are.
This
is something that I would refer to as a balance sheet. Here's another copy of this one.
Balance sheet.
Yeah.
Right.
And that would set it.
If you know.
Well, because this gives you a current bank balance.
Sorry.
This takes away your current inventory. They give a value of the license of $100,000, bringing the total assets to $269,000. And then they have the liabilities, though. So you have the assets, and then the liabilities is what you owe for is
$499,000.
Yeah. But that's more of a balance sheet. And QuickBooks has those. I'm like, because I do QuickBooks nonprofit. I'm like, and it's a whole other beast for accounting purposes for them, and I report to the state, I report to the charities division, I do all that stuff, and some days I'm like, it's more of a headache, somebody's got to be, you know, and I'm like, and when I get up and I tell them this weekend, oh, we're $535 negative net profit, they're going to say, well, how are we in the hole this year? Well, technically we're not. I still have 4 invoices the Department of Fish and Wildlife are working on because we get grant money from them.
And I guess the thing is, when you go into, we're going into November 1, you have 9 employees. I mean, how do you know you're going to be able to pay those 9 employees? That's what a balance sheet shows you. A monthly, you know that you have enough to pay your liabilities. A month, not a Tunis talked about amortization, he talked about car loans, and that's true. That's non-current. On a balance sheet, that's a non-current balance. Those are annual. You put the non-currents out. And I explained that currents are what, how much am I going to pay? Is a longer month? More working days? Do I have enough revenue coming in? Am I what? That's how you under, how are we doing that? I mean, if we're going negative, how do we know that we can pay the employees?
Well,
how do we know? I mean, who's figuring this out?
That's where the balance comes from. But I'm like, but that's, but the bank balance does cover that. But we've never gotten that.
And
that's one thing we've never seen.
And the last thing, I don't ever want to hear that this board or this council has not tried to work with this PDA. I don't want to ever hear that I'm going to shut it down. I shut it down the first month I was here. I'd have got it. But we're not. That's not what we're doing. We're just trying to make sure. And then there was an exchange with Robin, and Robin took some heat. But you know what? She's a public official. She needs to. We all do. But my point is, the bottom line is we just want to see it work, but we want to make sure it's going to work. And if we're not understanding how it needs to work, we better find somebody that does. We better have somebody that can project and see that this business, because it's losing, it's going backwards. Your numbers for August were less than your numbers for July. Half of the numbers. This is serious, Stan. You know it. It's serious. And I don't want you to lose your money. I really don't, because you've been gracious. And I don't want the city to lose, because we've already lost. You're already gone. I mean, we already lost. We're going to get money, but it's gone. It was developed here. We were the first, right? Now you're gone, because you can't make it here. But if there was financial planning, maybe it could have. Maybe if there's projections, even as things go down, you make adjustments, maybe it could have been here. Maybe it could have stayed and been profitable. That's all I'm saying.
But, Faber, that should have been right done at the very beginning. And it was all done on fantasy.
It was.
We borrowed $14,000 from the city. And there was nothing but slack from that. And the city was financing a marijuana store, which probably 48% of the people in North Bonneville opposed, but 52% of the voters voted for it.
That's statewide.
I voted for marijuana, but I don't want to hear.
But here's the thing, Fern, that was then, you're under new. This is me, and I've been very transparent of what I'm looking for. And the board's been, our council's been transparent too. You can work with us, but give us something. Don't give us excuses, and don't give us lip service. Like I said, we have in our hand, tangible, what you're losing, but you're saying don't look over there.
You need to know the beginning. Judy knows.
Yeah.
She and I and Dan and her husband went over and worked on that building for days. She and her husband painted the office on a weekend when they could have been doing other things that they wanted to do. And he worked his butt off out there on landscaping. And then the city charged us $50,000 for landscaping on the lot.
Well, the city didn't charge it, the landscaper did. I looked it up. I know you're thinking. I know Tunis was involved in the negotiations, and Tunis, in your minutes, you took a because there was no other buildings around, and you took a lap around the block on one of the meetings. You and John saying, we got it from him. So I mean, come on, let's not complain about. I know I've read the history. I know the history, but we're talking about today.
You know, how can you pay $7,000?
But
I've been in real estate for a year.
I understand, but that should have been addressed in the beginning. Fern, we're talking about now. We have reset. You're moved. There's a whole new thing, but there's new sheriffs in town here, and we just want answers. And we've asked a month for answers, and you brought some paper.
Say that all the time.
And we're done. We're on. If this is going to be okay with it, if it's going to work, I don't want to be bothered with you guys. We don't want. I have nobody comes in here and helps me. I don't want to be sitting there bothering you, right?
Exactly.
I'm like, Adam's busy, and I know that he's my neighbor. I'm like, he's always out, gone.
Just give us two tiny points, if I might. And the first is, does not answer this, but maybe it answers part of it. As far as the balance sheet is concerned, we will show our inventory at cost. What that's really worth is three times that, because that's what the retail revenue
not if the product has dropped in price overall.
Well, I don't know that the product has dropped in price.
We just heard
know the sales are down. I know the sales are down.
It's definitely down.
Okay. The other comment, please remember that it's probably not realistic to ever expect the balance sheet to be in the black. Realistic.
And we're not asking
for, I don't think it's ever going to be in the black.
And I know from my 501c3, I am hopeful that I can stay at least 200 on the net for the year. I'm like, as long as I'm not showing a loss, and as long as I'm not showing too much profit, then I'm okay.
It might not be realistic to compare your business with our business, because we can't deduct any business expenses.
Right.
That's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Right. So, anyway. We probably beaten this horse to death.
No, we did. And also,
expect you, more and timely information from us.
That's it. If you're going to tell me that this isn't working, give me something that shows me it does instead of tell me. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Because then I think everybody could live with that. But we're just getting for this. But we're not. But this is saying this. We're only going based on your numbers. And you're saying, I don't look over there. Well, we'll get us something that we can look at.
Then just get us the balance so that we know that we're not thinking.
What was just given to you by Dan, does that help resolve any of your...
Well, this is good for an annual thing.
Does that start?
I just got done saying is...
One more thing.
I have something else in my hand now. This hand is not empty anymore, so now we have something. Okay? That's all we were asking for. That's it.
And it just took us more effort and time to get to it than was.
We're not the bad guys, Dan. We're really not.
I understand.
And I want to tell you all that Robin is not the bad guy. She does more than she's ever paid for. She is there working her butt off on everything. And she tries to do more than any other manager would ever do. She's up there crawling around in the attic, laying those wires for the camera system. And Dan put the cameras in, which would have probably cost us $3,000 or $4,000. But they did it. And then her employees did so much of the work in that move. And they're still doing it.
Fern, let me just say one thing to you. I'm talking to the board. You threw her to the dogs. You let her up here by herself. You really should have been behind her on a lot of these things, and you should have been, because you're really accountable to us, not her. Yeah. We have no control over her. But she's up here alone, and she's taking the brunt of the questions, and she's saying, "Well, the board knows." Well, give us the board. If you want to protect her, don't send her out here to talk to you, because we're not going to listen to her anymore. You're the ones we need to talk to. You're the answer, man. That's what you told us.
And Mike was the president, and he says, "I'm 71 years old. I am just totally frustrated, I guess, with everything. He's not well." And so that's why he
retired. I'm 61, Vernon. I'm not feeling well, because we're just asking simple things and we're not getting them. And we're not trying to be hard on those. We're just trying to help them.
You've got a long way to go, Mr. Stabler. I'm 82, and I'm still up there trying. I know. I have that building over there that's $300,000, and I am not making any money on it.
And you need to come and talk to us, because we have ideas to help you that'll help the city.
Well, I asked you to get the dead limbs off of those trees out there.
We're working on it. They got the backside, and they're going to work on the fronts. They started the backside. They got all the backside done. We'll get them.
Okay.
We save it for public comment. Let's save it for public comment. They're ours. You're absolutely correct, and we're working on it. Okay, let's save the rest of it for public comment. Is there any other questions for the board?
You're not the board.
I know.
No. Tom is an advisor.
Yeah.
Tom is an advisor. So
trusted this one.
Business took accounting, not stuff. A balance sheet is a picture of a moment in time. You need more than once a year, once a day, you know, whatever.
Once a month, once a month, a week.
You've got to see what is the change between this and this. And a balance sheet is the most important document, even more than a P&L.
Right.
It tells you what is your bottom line. It's a moment of time versus this moment of time. And so once in a blue moon isn't enough. You have to have it more often. How often? I honestly, if I was in business and was running the kind of losses in my business, if I would have one in my hand at all times, I'd want to know every day where the heck am I at.
Is that right?
I'd be on top of it.
Sure.
I'm like, I always say once a month, at least. I mean, but if I'm the one doing the book,
at least.
I know.
At least.
And it gets printed out with the profit and loss statement with QuickBooks.
Yeah. Well, you can also request.
We've been told the balance sheet is nothing. A profit and loss is nothing. And we've been hearing this and hearing this and hearing this. And I'm up to here with hearing it. And I know it came from I want to say this for public comment. You know, wow. We still don't have anything except a little piece of paper Dan gave us. You know, do you guys know what a balance sheet is? Adam? That's what we asked for this meeting.
And that's what you got.
The fact that I will admit that the fact that myself and perhaps Mr. Schaefer are not as well versed on these things, we hired an executive director and we trust her. If she's not doing the job that we have hired her to do, then I will see that it gets done one way or another.
How much is she getting paid?
How much did the
inspector
pay?
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
That's the kind of answer we've been getting. I asked for a number, and you said quite a bit. That tells me nothing. And that's the kind of stuff we're talking about here. It tells us nothing.
Well, I don't remember.
Well, you know, I'm asking the board, basically. The board's in charge here. What do you know? What the executive director's getting, Adam? You believe it's $56,000.
I'm going to just say this. I'm going to beat you guys up. Seriously, no. This isn't the form to beat anybody out, but I don't want to do that. We want to work with it. But I really suggest that when you find a new board member, it's somebody that has a little bit of financial background that can because you need it. You really need it. Because, like I said, is we've heard all these great plans, but you're still going backwards. And I realize you're in a new store and you're a new place, and you're going into winter, and things aren't going to get any better until next spring. Maybe a little bit. So you really need to start managing your funds. And I would suggest you maybe get somebody that has, that has a little financial background, because that can really do you a world of good. Because Robin doesn't know. She doesn't understand it. I'm telling you. Pardon me? No, I don't know anybody.
You don't want us to appoint anybody for your board.
I can tell you now that we have made positive and repeated and monthly attempts to recruit members for the PDA for 4 years.
Yeah.
There are no members.
They have to.
This is a volunteer thing. You want somebody with financial expertise on the board? Find them and appoint them. And pay them. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Let me tell you. No, I agree with you, but let me tell you something. I've talked to a lot of people that said they don't want, they would like to help, but they don't want that be a board member. But there's a lot of people that said they want to help, they'd like to help. You might be able to find somebody that isn't a board member that comes and advises for free.
Brian, keep in mind, one of the deterrents of this bad job is that everybody has to go through a full background.
So here's the thing. I understand that. But we're talking against the argument. But the bottom line is this business was designed to make money or at least break even. It was designed to help the city. It was designed to do good.
Right.
And we can't use these. If we have an earthquake over here, we like Tom said, a balance sheet. You can work through it. You can make adjustments to get through it. If you can't find board members, you find a way. But ultimately, you got to get through and keep the business running strong. I mean, at least break even. I know, but see, that's where I'm concerned, Fern. Because if you've tried and you can't do it, do we continue kicking a dead horse? That's where we're at.
You just keep recognizing that the efforts that have been made on that event behalf are as good as we can do.
You know, I agree. But let me just tell you one thing. My business mentor told me the first thing he said, you know, so he said, Brian, I don't pay you for effort. I pay you for results. I can pay anybody for effort, but I pay you for results.
You don't pay me at all.
I'm not talking about you. You just said everybody's effort. I didn't say you. I'm just saying.
You want professional results from your public development authority, you need to populate it with those competent, capable persons.
Not
you need to populate it.
No.
I don't have to.
I guarantee you. Listen, if we were to put the board in, things would be a lot different. But I don't want to go there. I mean, listen, I came here to work on the city. You know, I came here to change things for the city. And part of that is the PBA. And I've been very. Me personally, I don't want to talk only me, but I've been very fair.
No question.
Only reason I went after Robin and that thing is when she really told me no. I can't give you what you said we can ask for. You tell me no now.
I understand.
So we're willing to work with you. I would rather focus on a city and cutting down trees, making it pretty out here. I want to replant the garden. I want to do a bunch of good stuff for the city. I want to do the roads and put the lights in. I want it really nice because I really don't care about government. What I do care about is what my daughters get when I'm done, right? The same place I came to 25 years ago, and it was a beautiful place, and it's going to get back there. That's all I really care about. And part of that is you, the PDA, because if you guys can get this thing settled out, you're going to help us out. We can spend money, help the city. That's what it's all designed for, right? So let's work together instead of against each other, but give us tangible stuff.
I have a question. Appreciate it very, very much. We would love to have that kind of relationship.
My only question is,
how often would you like us to plan to provide?
I don't think you need to. In my opinion, I don't think you need to plan. Somebody comes in once or sends me an email, finding here's where we're at, and I tap on the. I don't really think once a year as it states to come in and give us a overall thing. But if things are going well or not going well, you can just tell us that.
But see, I can
send. Give us some information.
You can send the PDF. Can I call time for a minute?
No.
I have a suggestion. Can we put a job description on the door for an opening for a PDA board member?
If you want to.
Can we post it for them, or can they post it?
They can post it.
And put it on the door.
They can post whatever they want.
Well, the question is made by the mayor with confirmation.
But they can find somebody and bring it so you can appoint
them. But you can deal without them finding somebody.
But we have
it's reasonable for the mayor to turn to the board and ask the board to supply you with a name.
Right.
To submit to the...
Yeah, so that's
what I agree. Which we are prepared to do as of the 14th of next month.
All right. So, in closing on this, we are not here to hurt anybody. We're not here to... We're not doing... We're actually working for you. I mean, I ate crow went and negotiated so you guys can move. I mean, really, my stance before, I ate crow, but I did it because this is a going concern as part of the city, and I have an obligation to all the city.
And I appreciate your efforts on behalf of myself and Mr. Schaefer, as well as Mr. Baker. We appreciate your efforts. We appreciate all of the support that we have been given. And we will see that you get monthly data and routine.
But I wouldn't be as good as I am if I didn't have support, and these people are just as good or better.
I wouldn't be anywhere if this man and Mr. Baker had not been dedicated to what they've been doing and to what our mandate is. And the new person that we have proposed to replace Mr. Baker will be equally as dedicated.
So what we need to do is we need to mend the fence, and we need to forget about the past, and we need to, when we ask for something, don't take it personal that he's going out to get us and have to have students come out, really. Because we're not. We just want answers. Yeah. And then we'll all get along harmoniously. You live here. You live. Let's build the city looking nice all together. What do you think? Right? And we all try to at least get along. And we respect each other, right? That's what it's all about. Because quite frankly, when I took this seat, there was not a lot of respect going on in the city. And we won't have that anymore. Because everybody deserves respect. Am I right? Okay. Anything else? Sorry.
Housekeeping. If the council is prepared to do it, it would probably be a good thing to do to have a motion to reappoint the board members.
I agree.
So that's out of loose end.
Yeah. I make a motion to confirm the board members.
I will make a motion to confirm.
I'll second it.
I would like you to hold off for a minute until at least after public comment.
The motion's been made. Motion's been made.
Yes, sir.
Motion's been made, Mike. Correct?
Yeah.
You made a motion. You second it?
Yeah.
Anybody want to call for the question?
I'll call for a question.
Ken Brackett?
No.
Counselor Everett?
No.
Counselor Lee?
Yes.
Counselor Whitcomb?
Yes.
So in this instance, since it's not an ordinance or a resolution for spending money, it would be up to the mayor to break tie.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Moving. I lost my agenda.
Here, you can have mine. I even wrote your notes down.
Sorry. Do you have you guys have to keep me quoting here.
Brian, do you have the paperwork that was just handed to you by?
Okay, so moving on. Okay, we're going to go to approval of Ordinance 1108, amending Chapter 5.04. And Tom needs to speak to this, because this is something that,
basically, this was mandated as the first whereas, with the state mandated through a gross house bill last year, and a new chapter in the RCW that basically requires that all cities and towns in the state of Washington have to come up with a new definition for what engaging in business is, and that you have to create a threshold. And what they're getting at is that a way that small businesses do not have to pay for a business license if they do less than a certain amount of business. And so the state's mandating that cities and towns cannot charge for a business license. The minimum that you can threshold is $2,000. So if a business makes less than $2,000 and does not have a permanent place of business, so if you have a permanent place of business in town, you still got to have a business license. This is for like vendors, transient merchants, or whatever, if they do before. Like we have Gorge Days, those vendors, if they do less than $2,000, they don't have to have a business license, or you can't charge them the fee, let's put it that way. And so at the same time, they had to meet those obligations of the state. I went through and incorporated that, and also got into our whole thing on business licenses, and kind of did some housekeeping in it. And as you can see, the anything underlined is new, anything crossed out is old. So we just made the definitions a lot bigger with what engaging in business is by an awful lot. And then the license required, I just changed that to be that section they had didn't exist, so I wrote what section doesn't exist on the second page, or third page. And on the fourth page, let's see, that's, I just incorporated what we already had in some of the other areas about
that's not transferable, that it has to be displayed in conspicuous place, and let's see, what else, separate business license for each business, and then nonprofit search are excluded if they have a Form 1023 or an IS IRS determination. So, and then I incorporate instead of how much the fees is, that fees for business license shall be set by resolution of the city council. And that's about it. Just try to make it conform with the state and do some housekeeping on it.
Questions?
I make a motion to approve ordinance 1108.
I second that one.
So this, for example, this food cart, Mexican food cart out here, if they don't make, they have a business license right now.
Correct.
Which is like, what, $10?
$25. Okay, I know what your question is going to be, and I can maybe answer. If the state in our webinar that we had, and what the MSRC and the law intent was, or what you're talking about, is that we have, if they say they're going to do less than $2,000, it's not your place to say that they're not, or that they're going to make more than that. So if somebody comes in and says, I'm not going to make $2,000, unless you've got a way to assume that they are going to make more than that, you can't make them follow their law.
And the way that you normally determine that is through the state business tax.
Right.
So that's how you would find that answer.
The number of, but the state won't share that information.
But in a number of cities, actually are part of a system where the collection of the license fee is part of the collection of that their B&O tax, as well as any local B&O taxes, like City of Vancouver, for example, City of Washougal, they're all part of that system.
Yeah, there's two systems. There's one of a bunch of cities back there in the big boy. They're keeping track, but then the state is forming one, and that's not mandated until 2020. We don't have to be part of this system.
Right.
2020.
So, that's what I'm asking. I think your question, then, how can you determine whether they make more than the $2,000 is through the B&O tax?
And those are supposed to be like for one-stop shopping, so that when somebody wanted to get a business license, you wouldn't necessarily have to come here. You'd buy it online.
So I pay my super license and my sugar license.
Through the state of Washington. Right. Through the whatever. And then you get, I guess they would cut you a check later. They haven't figured out how it's going to work all the way. But basically, we're just trying to get, it's like a lot of things. They have things, but they don't know what what you got to do to follow them. And we're honestly going to be one of the first small cities with a model ordinance, because I couldn't find one.
You don't have to do it until the end of the year.
Right. Unless you're part of that cooperative, you didn't have to do it until the end of the year. But I thought, let's get it done. So I hope you're one of the first little guys to do it. So here you guys, here's an example for you. But basically what this does is make it to work. Like, we always felt bad, like Gorge Days, those poor vendors come in here to do a $200 or let's say $1,000 and charge you $25 to get a business license to do business for half an afternoon. But that's what the code was. So this way, they're exempt because they don't have a permanent facility here and their sales are going to be less than $2,000. So that they get a business license, but they don't have to pay for it. So you're not beating down the little guys. So it's not a chat.
Should we just set our own threshold? We just less than
2,000. Or if it's over 2,000, they have to have one.
Correct. Yes. We can still let it.
But we could set it higher, but we thought 2,000 would be. That's what most of us do.
Call for the question. Any more discussion? Call for the question.
Councilor Erickson?
Yes.
Councilor Norris?
Yes.
Councilor Lee?
Yes.
Councilor Wickham?
Yes.
Thank you for that, folks. And we're moving on. The RADCOMP contract extension through 12/31, and I'll let our city clerk address that.
Yeah, not much more explaining to do on this one. Based on what I have said, the first report about our audit and the ransomware attack and the $2,000 across the city, we just need a vote to increase by no more than $2,000 to the end of the year.
Not to exceed.
Yeah, not to exceed $2,000 to be added to the contract for ransomware fixing. Okay.
Who's going to take a vacation for that extra money?
Mr. Anderson.
Mm-hmm. He's totally worked on our staff. Tom's going on vacation the month of December so that we can afford to pay it?
Only if you
can. Because if not, do we need to adjust our budget for what we're not doing?
This is Lucy's budget.
I love it.
I include in lectures.
I know. That's why I said.
We're going to have
a vacation.
Let me tell you something. We're going to have more money at the end of this year than we've had in. It starts a new year than we've had in 5 years. Seriously. Because people are saving money. Except when ransomware comes in, but it's only $2,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I make a motion to extend not to exceed $2,000 to the RADCOM contract at the end of the year.
I'll second.
All right, thank you.
Call for the question.
Councilor Acton?
Yes.
Councilor Morris?
Yes.
Councilor Lee?
Yes.
Councilor Wickham?
Yes.
Thank you for that. The next thing on the agenda is excuse Councilor Randall, and he's training with some of our firefighters on how to put out chimney fires. They've been invited down toward Vancouver, he's asked to be excused. And he asked me yesterday.
I make a motion to excuse Councilor Randall from October 23rd meeting.
Okay. I second the motion.
Thank you, John.
Call for the question.
Councilor Acton?
Yes.
Councilor Lee?
Yes.
Councilor Burris?
Yes.
Councilor Wickham?
Yes.
Thank you. And the final thing is kind of a consensus. On East Cascade, we have a stop sign that was put in basically because of the traffic that was going out to the hot springs. A lot of people were going out there and they were speeding in that little, and so we put a stop sign in. Well, now the trucks are, and they're moving, and they're moving a lot. They're going to be moving material for the next few years, which is excellent. So, I mean, again, this is cha-ching for the city. But they're coming up to that stop sign and they're stopping, and then they have to stop and it's restart, and people are saying it's loud. When we covered it last year, and when they went through there, they weren't stopping. People didn't hear it as much. And so they've asked, because they're getting complaints up there, and there's complaints that people have made to us, that if we could get the noise lowered, and I think if we covered that stop sign again like we did last year, and I go through there slowly, that there's going to stop a lot of the complaints where people are having problems with the stop and the start, air brakes, and the
diesel and all.
Huh?
Can I say something to you on
that?
Okay, so my other opinion on that is, because it's in multiple towns currently around us. No jake brakes permitted in town.
It's supposed to. They're not supposed to.
Okay, well then.
Yeah, we've already addressed the word about it.
But
you can require jake brakes to be muffled.
No, but some towns do. I mean, there are some signs that you see that, I mean, as you're going down and you're going through some bigger hills, it'll say no jake brake permitted, because one, they want you to go slow so that you're not romping on your...
We have a sign out there that says no air brakes.
No, it didn't say
engine brake. We do have a sign out there. Right.
But I'm like, they have that in multiple towns around through here. There's certain sections.
They've been around for 30 years.
Yeah, I'm like, I know I live somewhere that had it on the road that was the front of the road and it said no.
And we've had a couple people come in and they've said to us that if that stop sign was covered like it was last year, they live right there, wouldn't have as much of a problem. The other thing that's interesting is, not interesting, but if they're not stopping there, people are closing their windows now. You know, all summer long we had the windows open, so this makes it a lot louder. So they're closing their windows, and if they don't have to stop there, I think that a lot of people are going to be a lot more happy, at least in that neighborhood.
that's what brought it up. I've had three, and they're on that stretch. They came and said, can't you cover the stop signs back up again?
I saw it on the internet.
So I'm just saying,
after they come into city in time.
So that really is a consensus vote to allow that us to cover that sign back up. At
and
least
see how it works. You can always take it off again.
Yeah. Any problems?
You could put a slow sign out there and cover the stop sign.
There is a slow sign out there. I make a motion to approve covering the signs on East Cascade Drive.
It's just one, that one stop sign.
Two.
Oh, two. I'm sorry, two. Yeah.
One each drive.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Jerry was only stopping
at one
episode.
I'm not seconding you.
But they were
clear.
No.
I'll
second it.
Second it? Thank you. Thank you.
Best thing you said all night. The only thing you said all night.
You're out of order.
Yes.
Call for the question?
Yes.
Councilman Ray.
Me? Oh, what, John? Yeah, oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
And thank you for that. That's going to make some people happy. And we also will make sure that, those bags are pretty good, because I thought one of the concerns is we have buses going through there this time of year. They're going to watch it, and I trust they will. And final, we're closing with public comment. I guess Mike's going.
I would like to say something.
Sure.
First of all, I'm glad y'all came.
Your name, sir?
Michael Hamilton.
Thank you.
I want to share what I heard tonight. And I hope the council pays attention to part of it. I heard that we have a PDA we had at the beginning of the meeting, a PDA that had two I'm going to use the term unapproved, because that's what I can do. Unapproved PDA mayors. I heard that the city has been trying to get information from the PDA since January, and it's almost November. That's nearly 11 months. And they finally got something today. Whether it's adequate or not, I don't know. I've also heard that the PDA board would send the PDA manager to speak to the council and she didn't have authority to say anything or the information. Then you have the manager saying you need to talk to the PDA board. Then you have the PDA board saying, no, you need to talk to the manager. And you fellows and ladies on council are going to have to find somewhere where the buck stops, because the buck is not going to stop. It's a swamp. And you got people out there. The only person in this room that I saw that has skin in the game is Fern. And that's because Fern's donated, loaned, maybe at higher interest rate, maybe at not. But she put her money at risk, and she loaned it to the council. To the PDA. But I've also heard that there's some thoughts going around it. Maybe it's up to the city to hire a manager or to hire board members for the PDA. Now, I was on the council when the PDA was formed.
Yes, you were.
And I was against the PDA. And I'm still against the PDA, and it's not about marijuana. I've been told in my face that I was the anti-marijuana. I couldn't pass a drug screen right now if I needed to, but I don't have to anymore. So I use it for medicinal purposes. When I don't smoke it, I ingest it or I rub it on. And so does my daughter. What I fail to recognize and hate to see is government operating in business. And nobody's responsible for the business, because that's the way it is. So I would hope that the council and the mayor, or the mayor and the council, would get a determination from the PDA as to where does the buck stop. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay.
Thank you.
Please state your name, rank, and serial number.
I want to make some observations too about what happened over over a long time on the PDA. First of all, Tunis, if you looked at the you made a statement that you said people up here were against cannabis. That's not true. The majority of the people up here would vote for cannabis, and they've been really more than supportive of the cannabis store. So that's not a true statement. Robin has come in over time, and board members have come over in over time, and they've blown smoke. And these people up here, when they're asking for accountability, they deserve accountability. Okay? And they deserve to get what they're asking for. If this PDA, well, let me say something else. I know of at least three people, possibly four in here, who said that this would not financially cancel out. I even went to another pot shop and I asked them before it started here, would this work? And they said no. And I said, why? They said, because it's a government store. Anyone who's operating on their own business would not have gone through all of this crap that we've gone through in the PDA. So are the people against cannabis? No. They want to have accountability. Now I want to talk to Dan. Dan, voluntarism is alive and well. There were people who started to plan a, I'm pissed. There were people who planned and put 5 years of work into trying to design a grocery store here that would be a natural grocery store. They spent hours and hours painting and cleaning and going and visiting and getting information and putting it together plans, and it didn't work. It didn't pencil out, and they are now in the process of closing it and sending back to people who donated or who put their money into it. They're sending them back some of their money, not all of it. And when we make investments, and I'm really, my heart goes out to Fran because she is the only one in here with skin in the game. The rest of them on the board, a lot of boards, when you're on a board, they have you put something there saying that you have skin in the game. And we've not required that from the very beginning. We started off with 5 members. We're down now to 2. Hopefully we'll get 3. And who would want to volunteer to be on something that's not financially making it? And there's no accountability. And that's what's happening with our government. There's no accountability, and these people are asking for accountability. John, in January, said, where are the figures? Right, John?
Yes.
Where are the figures? And he kept asking for the figures, and it was, well, we have excuses. We moved the shop. We had too many people pass by on the flyer, so they didn't want to stop. There's always excuses why this isn't working. And I want to say to the council, you guys are phenomenal. Because when this started, you had a much different feeling, I think, about the support. And you've bent over backwards to support. And I think we all want it to go. The PDA has not, they've not delivered what they've promised. Maybe they will in 6 months. I don't know. I hope this is not taped because I'm pissed.
It is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
I'm saving that you said it twice for a later soundbite on the website.
I'm going to need that for my
Yeah, Julie Sable. Do you identify yourself?
Hello. I'm Julie Sable, North Florida. It's here a long time, and on behalf of the auxiliary and the fire department, I'd just like to announce Turkey Bingo. We're going to be having it Thursday, November 15th from 6 to 9 p.m., and I would just like to say that I'm really proud of our auxiliary
if I were to guess, I would say we have maybe 20 members, and then that extends out because there's a lot of community members that come in and volunteer when we have an event. And I'm really proud of our fire department, too, because I would say we have about 20 active firefighters, give or take, you know, Greg would know. But the communities really come together and always has for the fire department. And I know the council has been very supportive, so I just wanted to announce it, let the audience know. And so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
I thought it was trouble. Jane.
Is it midnight? I'm Jane Jackson, longtime member of North Bonneville. I have a different topic. I have friends who live in the area who are Native Americans. And I would like the council and the community to consider the fact that these people, as longtime residents, founding members of this area and Pacific Northwest, need representation in our government bodies, in our workforces. And I would like you to consider how we might do a different, better job. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Anybody else? Mr. Jack.
Hi, my name is Eric Cackley. The other person who has skin in the game, whether you think so or not. I do have a lot of financial responsibilities to give you guys the building you begged for. And so it's like, hey, I don't know, everybody can make me out to be a scapegoat if they want, but it's a, you know, amount of responsibility and the hours I lost. And I'd have been better off had you guys never approached me because of my surgeon business. I would have been a lot further along being at one location rather than being at multiple locations. So I definitely took a hit, whether you think so or not. You guys don't know my books. It's hard to swallow, and it's just, you know, makes me a little bit upset too when I sit here and waste my time all night because I shouldn't have to be here. I've been at work from 6 this morning, so the you know, when I hear talk about a balance sheet, oh my god, I don't know how many people are in here. I've never even went to college, and I know exactly what they're asking. And so it's it comes right with this profit and loss, and you get it, you know, cheap monthly at the most, I would think. It seems like your business is not doing so hot, and you don't have your balance sheet, and you wonder why. It's just like, come on. I mean, it's like nobody really wants the business to fail. I think everybody wants the revenue from it. You know, I'm glad for you guys to pay me the lease and be done with you, because you guys are not fun to deal with. You guys talk a lot of smack. And it's just not, you know, it's just not worth it. I mean, heck, I'm a big part of this community, too. I'm doing my best. I donate to the city. I've got a lot more to give, but I'm not going to take anymore. That's for sure. It's just getting old, you know. It just really upsets me. It's, you know, it's just not, I don't deserve it. And, you know, people like you are talking smack about me, and you charge 20% interest, you know. So I don't see where you, you know, people.
No,
just,
I don't.
Yeah, you did.
And
is that what it started off at?
No, it started off at 15.
It did not.
I did not set it.
Neither did I, though. That's the point. I didn't set the rent. John Spencer did. Okay, and everybody else came to me. I asked for less.
Well,
my point is, you've done your part in the scheme too. Just like I had, you know, it is what it is. It's a, it's just not, you know, I didn't deserve anything because I haven't gone around and done anything. I haven't donated any stuff. I donated my $3,000 container to the fire department, you know, for free, and just, I gave money that was cash, easy cash for me that came from Williams Pipeline. I gave it directly to the playground fund. Just let them write the check right here, you know. It's not like I'm just taking money everywhere I get, you know. And the responsibility level that I took on to pick the building that was just disgusting in your city, that had garbage piled all the way around it. I mean, God, you guys should be throwing me a parade. It's just, it was a mess. You know, I'd be a drug addict and a junkie. And I had to get them. Tom's thing. Look at the metal building that we have. There's literally a donkey living there.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah, it's okay. I want you to keep talking.
So anyway, I cleaned up a gigantic mess. There was a junkie living in there. There was a junkie living across the little crack alley, I call it, between the two buildings. And we chased him out of there. Yeah, the cops weren't doing it. So we did it, right? You know, we took care of business. We want things to get cleaned up. We don't tolerate weirdos around us. And so, you know, we went ahead and did that. We cleaned up all the garbage. The building was a mess. It was piled with the nastiest stuff ever. And so we did it. You know, we dug in there. Stuff that nobody else in this room would even touch, you know? And so it's like we took care of it because we take care of business. And so we came here. And the only reason I'm in this little town here, they had this building. I was just trying to run a business, small business, dinky little business, actually. And I picked out a cool spot. You guys begged me for it. I said no. And then you guys just hound me until I say yes. What am I supposed to? And then you guys give me a hard time. And I thought it's my fault. It's not my fault. You guys can't do a business plan. No wonder you guys don't even know what a balance sheet is. I mean, it's embarrassing to sit in here this long and waste everybody's time because you guys didn't produce a piece of paper that comes with your profit and loss statement. She just showed you what it looked like, and that thing you just handed over isn't it. It's just like, I mean, it's not. And there's two lawyers in here. My God.
Mr. Tackley, I've been an attorney for 42 years. I know what a balance sheet is.
Doesn't appear they would do.
Personal insults have right. Place in this meeting.
Let's Excuse me, guys. Let's keep it up.
Okay, but did you think something said about me in the meeting?
I didn't take it personally.
Okay, let's just let Eric speak and let's kind of give him his time.
Didn't mention any names,
right? Right. This, you know, I just thought there's some educated people in this room that are much more educated than I that know this stuff, and they must be just crawling on their skin too, thinking, oh my God, you had to get to the point. You know, nobody wants it to fail, Dan, or anybody. And Fern is probably the only reason people aren't shutting it down, because they have a soft spot for Fern, and she got a lot of her personal cash in there. Nobody wants to see her lose that. Nobody. You know? I mean, I thought when the charter started, wasn't it originally supposed to be turned into a private entity at some point?
Nope.
Yeah. Well, I happened to be at one of the meetings at the PDA. They voted that out of the thing somehow. So I don't...
You're still in the charter.
Okay, well, it's just... Yeah. It's just, I don't know if that, how that plays into it, but... I mean, I can say leave it up to a government entity to make a pawn shop fail. That's pretty, you know, there's different wages and things that are being played here with the PDA that are not at the same level as other pot stores. You know, it's not being run like a business, but they are being, you know, employees. The county needs employees, you know, and employment. So I'm not going to, but just, I don't, please take a look at it. It's not just all peaches and cream for where I'm sitting. You know, I took on a lot of responsibility just so you guys can get what you pay for. You know, I've taken a lot of verbal abuse, too, that it's not cool. It's uncalled for, unprofessional. You know, do not expect that from someone at your level. You know, it's just not the way it's supposed to be. And so, you know, this town is great, and I'm just upset right now, and I, you know, I got a lot more to give, and I think, you know, I got a lot more to give, and our thing is starting to evolve over there. You know, we got a, that building was a gigantic mess, and so we're starting to get under wraps so we can actually start to produce the next level of our business that we've been talking about for a couple of years now, and people have been begging every day to want some beer. So we're going to get that going, and I think everybody will heal from this and you know, evolve, and hopefully the PDA or... I don't know about the PDA so much, but the pot store will hopefully start creating some revenue somehow, some, you know, I think it could, but you believe, you guys made it 4.5 years on the leash, you guys are down to the home stretch, it's not really like the time to start grumbling, you know, just take care of business, and you guys will, I mean, that's just how the game is played. You know, I took on a lot of financial responsibility that my lenders aren't letting me out of anything, so it's just like, I really want everyone just to work together and come up with a good plan. You know, I'm still contemplating, you guys gave me one day's notice the other day and then asked me to be at a meeting to talk about it. You know, I can't just, you know, make my mind up in 24 hours.
Mr. Clear, you've been invited for our last 2 meetings.
Did they both have, there's only one meeting, did it have a letter in advance, so it just told me what the question was.
Let's share this on, you guys, we can share this on another, yeah, let's kind of finish up on that. I know.
And they're not responsible to be at your meetings. I mean, that's not my responsibility. It's like, you know, I come to all these meetings only because you guys are making my life not that much fun. Giving me grief. You know? So anyway, I do believe that this kind of positive note. We wanted, you know, I don't think anybody in here really, I actually have property in North Bonneville. I don't know about if everybody in this room has property in North Bonneville, but I have three pieces in this town, so I want to say that I pay my fair share, so my words should be heard and understand that I'm not the one here making the trouble. I look at my profit loss statement and my balance sheet constantly, right? And I'm profitable, and so maybe that has something to do with it. But people might want to take it. I've said enough. It's just a real bummer that I'm hanging up here because I really don't want to be, because I don't think it's really, I want to have this be peaceful. I didn't come up here to be your scapegoat and have you guys, be verbally attacked multiple times, It's like, and then no apologies, when it's really, truly not my fault. It's not my fault. You guys have the easiest commodity to sell of anything that I can think of, It's like, you guys should be making money. And so there's a lot of different ways to make money, You got to cut overhead, and overhead consists of a lot of different categories.
$7,000 lease.
Yeah, we're $240 an hour lawyer.
Okay.
$61,000 legal fees in 1 year? I don't know. You tell me if that makes sense. Come on, do the math. It's like, it's not the rent. The rent is literally 6 more months. You guys are just down to the wire or whatever. You guys are literally getting all pissed off. Just make it over. You're almost there. Why, grease for everybody at the last minute? Okay. All right. What's that?
Let's take it. Okay, gentlemen. Let's take
it. We're not in a relationship.
Okay. But if we let me just say this. Are you done?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just say this. I just want to say something about Eric. Eric is... I've worked with Eric the last 9 months, and Eric has produced a lot for the city, and he's a man of integrity, and he's a man of his word. And when he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it, and he's provided for the city, and he's continuously provided. I'm not taking sides. I'm just telling he deserves some respect because he has been good to the city, and he has a plan to even be better. So he is somebody that is really valued by my administration anyways.
But he says also he's not the man that set the lease rate. So the fact that somebody signed a lease that was agreed.
I know. But let's go ahead. Eric, thank you.
Thank you,
Eric.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Oh, we can tar on Father Spencer. He's not here.
Okay, let's not tar on Spencer. We're not going to tar on Spencer. They were going to be all over. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hearing none, we're going to go to council, closing council statements. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
She's
short. She's going to see. I didn't see her. Sorry. There is an easy way out of all this. It's just resolve the PDA. It's just causing more headaches for people. It's causing contention. The government has no business being in the business.
Amen.
What's happening is that this city wants to take money from their profits. It's not right. It doesn't work, obviously. It's not working. They don't want to pay us because they don't have it. Maybe they want to pay us, but they don't have to pay it. Let's just resolve it and get out of it. I'm Shelly. I'm here in North Bonneville.
Thank you, Shelly.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to comment? Okay, public comment is closed. Anybody else?
Yes. Completely different topic. We got a problem with cats in this town. We're only allowed to have 2 dogs. Why in the hell can people have 19 cats in their house?
17.
17. And here's the problem.
Another litter is coming.
They are taking a dump on their cat litter in the bushes behind Judy's and mine house. And on another night, Shelly and I are sitting there with my five at the back door open, and we hear a BB gun or a pellet gun after being shot in the trees. And so I walked out there, and here's Mom, Dad, and the oldest son walking around out there with a BB gun. I called the sheriff's department on them. I mean, they're not going to do anything because they're already back in the house, but we've got to do something about the cat litter being dumped out there. This is gross. It's a health hazard. And I'm to the point now, with all the cats in my neighborhood, I'm going to get a live trap, and I'm going to start taking for the Humane Society.
Starting where you're at the restaurant.
We can do that too.
that's a good point.
So anyway, and just one more comment, and I'll be done.
I have a bullet hole in my front door.
Yes, you do have a bullet hole in your front door from a pellet gun. and you put a piece of straw in there and it goes straight up to their window. I probably shouldn't say that out loud, but I just did. As far as the PDA thing, I'm 100% agreeing with my wife. We agree that government doesn't have a place in business. I don't like marijuana. I don't like cannabis. But I said this in January, and I'll say it again. I don't care if they're selling lemonade Girl Scout cookies. The government has no place in business. That is not the way the government in this country is set up to make money. And that is my whole thing with this, is the business numbers aren't good, and we really should have, not be in business. And that's all I have to say.
Very good. Thanks.
Anybody else?
No comment.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Dan, thank you for producing that sheet, because that does show us a little picture of the glimpse of what you're really working with, to an extent. I mean, and it was like getting blood out of a turnip, but we've been asking for it from January, and it's taken that long just to be able to see an account balance that shows us, yes, we have operating funds, but not just comparing it to the loss, because that's really hard to stomach when you see that, not knowing what you actually have that you're working with. It makes us fearful and maybe a little aggressive towards the whole thing, because none of us knew. You got anything?
Yeah, I want to thank all the PDA members for appearing and everybody else that's here tonight, especially Mr. Chunas over there. I really appreciate all the feedback he's given us tonight. We've had a lot of questions for a really long time, and I think some of them have been answered. Also glad that we were able to reapprove the board members. Thank you.
Here no other businesses meetings are.
Hallelujah. Brian?
Yeah.
This is not meant to be.
They go to a 4-year term now. That's what the charter says. They automatically go to a 4-year term with a reconfirm.
He didn't have to explain it to me in the meeting, but I
wanted
to. It doesn't matter. So I want to look up where he was using 6 megabytes of data. I mean, I don't even need that.
Here's the deal.
I know, but I'm like, but then you start looking at it. And you start coming around different times. Why do you think each one of the
percent
of the data? And I'm like, so that was just my note. Judy and I both looked at it, and that was just. Wait, hey, we all have our tour.
I gotta have some other customers.
Yeah. Hurry up, that's you.
Where'd you get this? Been sitting down here under a bunch of
people. It's because I was writing notes. I had questions to ask.
She's scared of it. Yeah, see?
But I did. I'm like, but that's why I'm like, I didn't think that was something I needed to bring up in a public meeting, but I wanted you to see that I'm looking through it, and I'm like,
I appreciate that, Marty.
Why is one plan at 50, one's at 40, one's at 85? I'm like, why does that not make sense? And then some of them have two-way, but then some of them don't have the two-way, and they only have they have unlimited data. But I'm like, why do I need unlimited data?
I'm going to bed now.
Okay. Hold on.
But here's the thing.
Everybody find this?
Did you find also it? look at the SensoryLink bill. Because we got phone lines everywhere that we're trying to find.
I know, and that's why I'm like, but this is a simple one. This is a cell phone. So I'm like, if that means, I'm like, because I know SensoryLink business accounts. You could even set it up that, okay, these two phone lines are on call for the only two phone lines activating, that you can sit there and control that. They shut off at 5:30 at night unless they're on call, and there could be two people on call.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of, because I'm like, are we just paying for someone to be on Facebook and they no longer have a public phone, they just have this phone?
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. So I was questioning that when I saw it. I'm like, holy cow, they're using all the everything.
And then we have to find it. I don't want to get involved in finding anybody for it.